This is the Schnauzer Logic Radio Company.
And this is Schnauzer Logic, episode number 77, and it's being recorded on Wednesday. It's the 24th of February, 2010.
Groundbreaking, critically acclaimed, smash hits, HBO original series. And now, the HBO original series.
Schnauzer Logic.
Joe has a broken leg. Mike comes over and asks, "How you doing, Joe?" Joe says, "Do me a favor. Run upstairs and get my slippers." Mike goes upstairs and sees Joe's gorgeous 19-year-old twin daughters. He says, "Your dad sent me up here to have sex with both of you." One of the girls replies, "Get out of here. Prove it." Mike shouts downstairs, "Hey, Joe, both of them?" And Joe shouts back, "Of course both of them. What's the point of fucking one?"
Clinton, liberals, dittos.
I'm Dr. Mora, and I'm my poodle's mother.
Today on All Things Considered to Death, Moss.
Yeah, baby, show me your...
Son of East, my friends, a son of East, and welcome! You have managed to tune in, latch on, and otherwise download that stream of bits known around the world as Schnauzer Logic. Yes, this is Schnauzer Logic. It is our big 77th show, and it's being recorded on Wednesday. It's the 24th of February, 2010, and my name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host, I'm your buddy, I'm your pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning, and I am thrilled and delighted to have each and every one of you here for what is going to be a great, great show. We got a lot of exciting surprises today, and we're going to be having a special guest. Now, we've not done this in a while. Those of you who are loyal listeners to Schnauzer Logic know that back in the day when we were doing all kinds of show prep and I didn't have the services of the wonderful and talented Boyana, we had all kinds of guests, and we had writers and authors, and I couldn't understand the difference between the two of them, and musicians and comedians and personalities of all kind, and lately it's just been pretty much the group of us talking to each other. But not today, my friends. Oh no, we got a special guest today. We got an incredibly funny son of a bitch, Rich Voss. If you're a fan of Opie and Anthony, if you watch Comedy Central, if you remember the old Comedy Central program, Last Call, with Carson Daly. I don't think he ever did that show.
That's Carson Daly.
Yes, it is. It is. Yeah, in fact, Carson Daly, Colin Farrell. What the difference between? It's not even Colin Farrell. I got that
one. Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn.
There you go. Yeah. Tough Crowd and Colin Quinn, or Last Call with Carson Daly. Now, do you understand why I got this too confused? Me neither. Anyhow, can we start again? Last Comic Standing. HBO Deft Comedy Jam. He's all over the... And he's looking at his website, he seems to be the hardest working man in comedy. I mean, he must be on the road 300 days a year.
And probably one of his biggest credits was he performed recently at Bunjo's in Pleasanton.
Thank you for getting that in at 4 minutes into the show. Let's mark it. That's how long it took John for a plug for Bunjo's. Anyhow, Rich Voss is going to be with us today, and I cannot tell you how happy I am, because... I am a huge fan of his. I have seen him perform. I'm a big fan of Opie and Anthony, and I've heard him on there. I don't know, maybe 100 times over the years, and he is, I think, everything just a great stand-up comedian should be. So we'll have Rich Voss. Also in the studio, you heard his voice already, giving a plug for Bunjo's Comedy Club, Pizzeria, and Casino Resort Hotel, Mr. John DeCoven, son of Easta, my friend.
Son of Easta. I think that was bad radio protocol, wasn't it?
To do what?
You're really not supposed to talk until you've been introduced.
Yeah, but that's all right. This is okay. This is bad radio. So, as you say, this would make bad radio protocol.
And the thing I think that's funny is you always talk about how I want to get plugs in, but it's actually almost the opposite. You usually do the plugging.
Yes. Yes. I am sexually frustrated, and any opportunity to do the plugging, as you say, will be...
Oh, that reminds me. me. No, no, I almost called you. No, because last week when I did a thing off air about that's what she said, you're all, oh, I got to tell you a story about that.
I got a bit.
We never did it.
We'll get to it. All right. I got it here. We'll do that. Jeff Moranis is in the studio, too. You got 15 seconds. All right, Sona Vista. Sherry will be here later. Parvis is not here today. Jason's not here today. We got Rich Voss. We got you. We got me. We got tunes. We got comedy. It's going to be great. We also got Mr. Kip Adada. And we got Michael Zwirling.
Stroke or unload.
Dick Cheney, who's recovering. Harry Whittington, who's not. Whitney. Kenneth.
Home networking.
English, motherfucker. Do you speak it?
There you go, of course. And
nonsense babber.
And, of course, Jerry.
Stop laughing. It's not funny.
Barbara.
When is a good fairy going to take off my penis?
First
it's
daughter.
It's none of your business.
This guy.
It's Tiger.
And, of course.
I'm Brian Cox.
There you go. I'm exhausted. All right. Hey, thanks for coming back, Jeff
Moranis.
Thanks
for always having me. Fantastic. Super fun.
So I figured out last week that the problem was that I had you basically sitting off here in the corner.
Close to you.
Wasn't the fact that you were sitting close to me. It was the fact that we didn't have eye line with each other.
Now we've got it.
And now we got the eye line. So I can see you and I can see you. Parvis doesn't need the eye line.
No, because he's not here.
It just slows him down. Yeah, he's not here. So we got an email from Parvis. Saying that he was not going to be able to join us this week and that the reason he was not here was because his mom had a heart attack.
Oh. Yeah, wow.
So, obviously, we are all sending... I guess she's home at this point, and he's helping to take care of her because she lives alone.
Right.
So, we obviously send prayers to Parvis's mom and, of course, to Parvis and his family and all kinds of good positive thoughts his way. And we want to tell Parvis that... say hi to Dick Cheney for us. I know what that means. Seemed like that was a joke in my mind. In my mind, it was a joke. Yeah. Dick Cheney, another heart attack.
And the guy's amazing. He gives me hope. Okay. Well, Jeff probably doesn't know this, but I had a heart attack when I was 35.
Right.
I'm not bullshitting you. That's why I got into comedy. It was like a stress reliever. And every time I hear about
Wait. Okay. You got into comedy because it was a stress reliever?
Right.
Oh, my God. Getting up on stage is the most stressful thing I've ever done.
To me, it's cathartic. It's like therapy. It's the best.
Really?
Yes.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was a dare or something.
I was
like
writing
that.
About my divorce and getting all the shit out. No, it's great therapy.
So when you go up and you MC the shows over at Bunjo's.
I MC. Sometimes I'll do a regular set. Sometimes I go perform other places, but...
And you don't... Do you have nerves? Do you get any stage fright?
No.
Or no butterfly? Nothing.
Nothing. I feel it's there. Like, coming here, I mean, I know we're not on stage, but it's therapeutic.
Well, yes. But see, I don't get nervous doing this.
Right.
I think because it all happens in my head. And... Much like the kid at the end of Saint Elsewhere. Go look it up. Boyana will put a link.
Okay. And the kid... Oh, actually, and Jack has a kid on Lost, but nobody here cares.
Well, I...
Thanks.
Did he ruin it?
Well, someday I was going to watch it.
Okay.
Have you seen any of them?
I haven't.
Well, you got a long ways to go.
Now I know. I'm like, there's the guy with the kid.
Okay.
But in all honesty... Doing stand-up, I did a show once, there were 1,000 people there, and I was not nervous at all. But if I have to do a serious speech, if right. there's like 10 people, I'll be nervous.
Toastmasters kind of
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, exactly.
Or local Elks
you know,
and Moose?
Chamber
and
of Commerce,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
what's the Benevolent Order of Odd Fellows? I walked by one of their shops the other day.
I have
no idea.
That's more like a Mason's type of thing.
Is it?
I don't know.
Okay. You know, but you know.
Yeah, we're not talking about construction.
No,
workers.
I know. Like,
yeah.
I know okay. a mason.
Okay,
I'm the idiot on the show today. Right? I'm just figuring it out.
No,
I'm the only one out with a pad of paper with answers. I got the wrong book. None of my math problems have red numbers after them. I'm trying to figure out why. Well, masons are what? He didn't know what bears were last week. I mean, come on.
It's actually an interesting thing, but it's take too long to explain here unless Robin has a condensed way of explaining it.
It's a fraternal organization.
Got it.
And I think it actually comes from Scotland.
Exactly.
Right? It came over with the I think original founding fathers of the country. I think George Washington was a Mason. And I don't know whether Thomas Jefferson
was the Freemasons.
So, yeah, exactly. Supposedly,
the
there's some secret society.
Yeah,
and,
I'm in that.
You know?
Oh, you? Okay. Are you a turtle?
No.
You don't remember? Oh no. Wasn't that like? If somebody says, "Are you a turtle?" the answer is supposed to be, "I bet you bet your sweet ass I am."
Oh,
does nobody remember this?
I don't know.
Okay, welcome to the 70s.
I'm on a wrong show today.
Fuck. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to play a tune. We're going to come back. And with any luck, we'll be on the phone with Rich Voss. How does that sound?
Fantastic.
That'd be awesome.
All right, good. Sherry has not shown up. Somebody just buzzed my pocket, so maybe that was her. We'll find out. Oh, I didn't give you the phone number. Well, it doesn't matter. We're not going to take any calls during Rich Voss anyway. But if you want to... Well, give it to them
later, because if they call now, they're going to fuck it up, right?
Well, no, it'll just go into the voicemail thingy now, so all right, that's fine. Yeah, all right, I'll give it to you later. Fuck you, and God. All right. Well, but when Voss comes on, it'll be much better.
Okay.
So for those of you who are not regular listeners to the show and you're going, really, this shit? Like, what the fuck? Like, why did Voss agree to do it? Maybe they're calling Rich Voss now and telling him not to do this. We'll dial into a fucking busy signal now.
But don't be... I mean, I don't know. You know, you've had this happen before where we try to get someone on the phone and then it goes to their voice.
You don't really know him, do you?
There's no Rich Voss.
Oh, no,
there is
no
Rich, you don't really know him.
There's no Rich Voss.
I'll show you the
apparently
email.
There's no Rich Voss, yeah.
I'll show you the email.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I could send an email saying that it was from... why is this buzzing again? God damn, I feel like there's... Shit, stop this. Don't bother
Rich
me.
Voss.
Could be. All right. Tunes, talking, comedy, and a little of Rich Voss. All right? We're listening to Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein is my name. Jeff Moranis is his name. John DeCoven is his name. And we are all cordially inviting you to please stick around. It gets better. Or not.
We're doing fine.
I love it.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
I think
you got nowhere else to go.
My mom thinks it's awesome.
Does she?
Yeah.
Well, now that's horrible. All right, Sherry's here. That was a good time to go into a break. All right. We're back on the other side because we got to move chairs and stuff like that. Wait, no, don't get up. Let me go to the break. Hold on for a second. Let me go to the break. Then you guys can all stand up and we can all do what we need to do. All right?
All right.
I don't know why any of that was part of the show. I apologize. We'll be back on the other side. Stick around.
Sometimes.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
How many people want to kick some ass? I used to be a nerd, grew up in the suburbs. Nothing there ever went wrong. I made it up in this song. I talk about the hood. Say stuff like, it's all good. Tell people I'm down with all the cool kids downtown. When I've never even been there. How many people wanna kick some ass?
I do.
And how many people stick a hole in their back? Traded like I am the hardest. So spin your cap around to the back. You think you rhyme, but you can't rap. Loosen that strap a little more till your axe hits the floor. Flip off your fans, make them cheer. Try to look sincere. Anger's today's fashion, so sing another song about bashing someone's head in. How many people wanna kick some ass? Stick a hole in the back. Sensitive
more fun than flushing the toilet while your spouse is in the shower.
Oh, sorry.
Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're 18 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, host buddy and pal. www.schnauzerlogic.com or Robin at schnauzerlogic.com or also over on twitter.com/schnauzerlogic. You know me. I'm a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. And during that last break, our good friend Sherry Stevens showed up, so let's say Sona Vista.
Well,
that didn't work. We got nothing there, right?
Sona Vista?
Nope. You're not on.
All right, I'm out of here. Oh, no, I'm not.
All right. There you go.
Sona Vista.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Welcome. You're in Parvisa seat, so...
I know. I'm a little nervous about it.
Yeah, things are not actually sounding very good. We'll have to figure out what's going on.
That may be better. I'm afraid to talk.
All right. Well, then mission accomplished. And let's say welcome back in Sona Vista, Jeff Morales.
Hey, Sona Vista.
All right, and of course, welcome back in Sona Vista to Mr. Bunjo himself, Sean DeColvin.
Sona Vista.
You checking your mail there? You're checking your stocks?
Okay.
How's your portfolio doing? Everything okay?
Everything's great.
All right, we don't want you to lose any money during this call. I mean, that's very important to us. You're the engine that drives this show. All right, so a couple of weeks ago, you mentioned to me that at Bunjo's, you had Rich Voss. And
yeah.
And that was, I had asked you whether you had anybody that we might know coming by, because you have tend to book mostly local comics. And you told me about Rich Voss, and it's like, well, fuck, I know Rich. Rich is amazing. Rich is a talented comic. You've definitely seen him on Last Comic Standing, Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn. He had his own Comedy Central special. He was on the Def Jam Comedy on HBO. Actually, the first white guy to perform on Def Comedy Jam. He's been at hundreds of clubs around the country. If you listen to Sirius XM, the Opie and Anthony show, as I do every morning with Little Jimmy Norton, you've heard him on there. I've seen Rich perform. He blows me away every fucking time. He's got the killer combination that you need to be a master in the world of comedy. He's funny, he's fast, he's fearless, and he's a Jew. And let's say, Sona Vista, welcome to Rich Voss. Welcome to Schnauzer Logic.
How you doing? Why do people call him Little Jimmy Norton? He's a fat little hump. Why don't they call him Plumpy Little Big Titty Scallop Norton? That's what he should be called.
Wait, go slower. I'm writing notes here.
Little Plumpy No Pigment Norton.
That's the Rich Voss we know and love.
Now, you guys you're based out of where? You're the West Coast right now.
We're obviously. In the West Coast, yep. We're out here in San Jose, California, and this is actually live and being streamed live now, and then it'll be available on a podcast up on iTunes and on our website, and I really want to thank you for being on with us today. I meant everything that I said. I have seen you perform, I've heard you perform, and it is that combination because in addition to just being a funny fuck, you are fast, but you're fearless, and it seems to me that really is the key to being successful in the business.
Well, no, thank you. And it's so funny because I'm fearless on stage, but in real life, I am fearful. You know, it's such a mask and a front when I get up there. Like I'm such a tough guy. Please, I am a pussy and I'm scared of everything. I'm scared of. I'm a hypochondriac. I'm obsessive compulsive. Everything is wrong with me. Except when I go on stage, I'm like, you know, Mr. Fucking Tough Guy.
And we were talking to John right before you came on with us about that issue, and he said that he, when he goes up on stage, he actually feels fearless. Did you get into comedy in order to have a place where you could feel like you mastered that space?
Well, no, I got into comedy because I failed at everything else I got involved in. And
no.
I wanted to meet girls, and I couldn't sing. And, you know, I mean, I got into comedy because I love comedy, and it wasn't because I like, you know, nowadays you'll get all these comics and stuff, and they just don't know the history. They just think, you know, they just don't know comedy. Like when I was a kid, that's all I did was watch comedy. Ever since I was like, you know, 5 or 6 years old, you know, on Ed Sullivan, come home from school and listen to comedy albums in fourth grade. So, I mean, I always loved comedy, and I studied it. You know what I mean?
I do.
You know, I watched and followed it. And when I first started comedy, you know, I asked questions and I watched comedy. Now I won't watch comedy, but so I got to it because I loved it. I loved comedy.
Do you remember the first comedian that you saw? I know that you're a fan of Lenny Bruce, as I am. I mean, I think he people don't realize today just how important he was in changing comedy. And I got to tell you, I think Lenny Bruce would be sad about the state of comedy today and the fact that a lot of comedians are not willing to tell the truth. They're willing to say the N-word. I mean, he was really out there for breaking those kind of barriers, and we've kind of pulled back the front line there.
I mean, my favorite when I was young, I mean, I'm talking fourth and fifth grade, you know, Ed Sullivan. I mean, I'm older. Like, I used to watch Ed Sullivan. Alan King back then, I thought was the funniest man alive. Mm. But then again, I was in fifth grade. So, you know, to me, comedy, funny comedy, just my opinion, is comics like Patrice and Colin and Louis C.K., you know, Doug Stanhope.
Yep.
Comics that really talk, for me, from the heart, not the head. I mean, head, you know what I mean? It's not optional. It's real. When you walk away, you know that person or what they how they feel or what they believe in, you know. I mean, a good joke writer, someone like Brian Regan, I think, is hilarious too, but it's a whole different realm of comedy. You know what I mean? You know, so I love watching someone like Colin or Patrice, you know. And but then when it comes to joke writing and good, clever jokes, you know, my wife is one of the best joke writers in the business.
Bonnie McFarlane, who, if people don't know, you guys are married, and she is also hysterical. And I know that you guys, for a while, were performing together. Is that, I mean, obviously, you're married, you love each other, you've got kids, but is there competition between two comedians? I mean, I know that when two guys get together, they bust balls. Do you guys find that you deal with it on that level, or?
We always bust each other. I mean, when I'm on stage or whatever, she'll heckle me and we'll go back and forth, and she usually always wins, and I'm pretty quick, but she'll get, you know, she's really quick. There's not a lot of competition because we're not competing for the same thing.
Right.
She's happy when I get stuff. I'm jealous when she gets stuff. We're not competing. We're basically, you know, we have the same goal in life, to get rich and leave the other one behind. Basically, that's what we both have that in common. So, you know, we're working on stuff together now. We've done pilots. We've worked together in clubs. We don't go on stage together. We're not fucking Stiller and Mirror. It's the internet.
Actually, these days, I don't know that anybody's fucking Stiller or Mirror, but...
Bonnie! last night, I was having sex with Bonnie's... I mean, she's really funny, but she has, like, a real flat ass. Last night I was fucking her from the con, and I really thought I was fucking Margaret Cho's face. I wanted to put blueberries and fucking whipped cream on her dumb ass. She's actually sexy. She put on a little nighty last night. This shit was fly. It was like a little polka dot nighty. She put on a polka dot nighty and a Jim Norton mask.
Oh, gosh. Well, if anybody just tuned in, we're talking to Rich Voss, who is just a funny son of a bitch, a brilliant comic, and he's actually going to be at Magoobie's Joke House in Baltimore tomorrow? Is that right?
Thursday, Friday, and Thursday, Friday, Saturday in Baltimore. Yeah, it's called the Spiral Down Tour. I'm out west in August at Tommy T's.
Oh, cool.
In August.
Oh, you're already cheating on me. I got you that great gig. I took you out to play golf, and now you're going next door.
Well, I have to. Here's the deal. Sometimes have you ever played like chess? I'm sure sometimes you. I don't know. I've never played chess, so I can't use that as an analogy. I don't know what to say. That would have been. Is there a fucking broad in there?
Yeah, there
can
is.
Can you tell that skirt to drop a baby and shut her mouth?
Been there, done that twice. Thanks anyway.
I'm only kidding with you.
I know.
Don Rickles, ladies and gentlemen. Don Rickles, ladies and gentlemen. Don Rickles.
Well, I'm Don Wrinkles. What do you call it? That's how old I am. No, John, I had a great time. Of course, I'm going to take you to play golf. But, you know, sometimes you get an offer from a club that does weekends.
Oh, no, I understand.
You know, it's not the first time. I had a great time, too.
And actually, seriously, the best time was playing golf. I didn't even care about the shows.
Oh, by the way, let me explain something to you real quick. When I say I had a great time with you, it doesn't mean the same as you saying you had a great time with me. Of course you had a fucking great time with me. It's something you could put on your resume, dummy. Okay? It's not like, oh, we both connected on the same level. No, jackass. Okay? I was stooping down to pretend I was at your level and like you. You know what I mean? And that's why I said I had a good time. Because, you know, there's nothing I like better than working a restaurant when somebody's ordering Mugu Gai Pan in the middle of a punchline. You know?
I smell ringtone.
Oh, God. That's hilarious.
But, no, we had fun. We played golf on his course. And he's a good golfer, John. I'm telling you, if you could somehow transfer your golf, you know, how good you are at golf, into comedy somehow, you know what I mean? I'm telling you, you would work your way to Italian restaurant comedy clubs. It wouldn't just be all Chinese restaurants, because that's, you know how they are. Oh, God, they have the sense of humor of a tumor. Some waiters and waitresses.
God damn.
Maybe you have a moment of silence. I'm sorry I'm doing an interview.
No. We're having a good time here. But let me... if Bonnie wants to join in, she's welcome to pick up a line and be part of this hot mess here. That would be our pleasure.
I don't know if you know this about cell phones, but it's usually on the front line. I don't know how it is when you're doing radio out of your fucking mom's basement.
Second bedroom, right. I'll have you know. Second bedroom, all my right. friend.
All right. I hope the person on his roof with the tin foil on their head and the aluminum bat up their ass gets this signal, because this is some funny shit right now.
And
that's all I'm saying.
And nicer equipment than I'm guessing half the radio stations that you walked into last year. I do have a legitimate question for you. And you mentioned it before. It's sort of in joke in passing, but I'm kind of interested in the business of comedy as well. Now, you and I both know that there are people that you don't know any names, who are not as funny as you are, who are not as smart or fast or as good writers as you are, but they're more successful in the business. And on the other hand, we know that there are people who are probably, I don't want to say they're funnier than you are, but they're certainly funny, or they're good writers, and they're not able to make it, right? They can't get that spark on. They can't make a career out of it. What do you think it is that kind of separates those things? And obviously, you know, you're in the middle of this business here. I mean, you got your feet in it. So from your perspective, like, what is it that makes that thing happen for some people or not for other people?
You know, it depends what you call successful. I mean, obviously, someone like Dane, you can't get any more successful, or Larry the Cable Guy. These guys are selling out arenas.
Right.
So that's success as a stand-up to the highest level that you possibly can do. You know, for someone on the road to them might be just doing a half an hour special, for somebody. You're not competing against other people. You're competing with yourself or your... Well, no, he asked me, what do you know, brother? For your own goals. You know, for me, I like to do something every year forward, or something positive towards my career. You know, if I didn't do TV, like last year, I didn't do a lot of TV, but I came out with a new CD.
Right.
This year, I already did another special. You know what I mean? So if there's progression or whatever, and you're content, you know, what is success? Is it 100,000 a year? Is it 10 million? Is it... You know, you can get someone like one of these alternative comics that work in front of, 20 people in L.A., but the whole alternative scene knows them around the country.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm content where I am. Of course, I'd like to have a bigger bank account.
Sure.
And, you know, and it's like anything. 4 years ago, I was doing theaters. This week, and I'm doing Magoobies.
Two months ago, we did Bunjos.
Yeah, but you're going to be at Mohegan in a couple of weeks. I mean, you're out there all the time.
It's yeah, it's you know, it's just like it's so. I mean, I could use a dumb analogy. It's so stupid. It's up and down. If it goes straight across, you're dead. You're flatlining. But yeah. You know, careers. You know, you see people come and go too. That you think, hey, look how successful, and they're gone. You know. But I've been doing this 27 years, so obviously, I'm mentally semi-retired in my head.
I mean, this is some real. I mean, no kidding aside, and you know, no kidding. But this is some real wisdom. I mean, did this dawn on you along the way? I mean, was this kind of part of the process of becoming, you know, Rich Voss the adult? Or, I mean, because you talk to younger, you know, young comedians, you see people that are trying to get into the business, and you know, it's basically Seinfeld or bust as far as they're concerned.
Well, they don't know because they haven't. Of course, everybody has a dream when they first start. But they don't know. They haven't even gone down the path or any obstacles or dealt with anything. So when you first start in, you know, you start a job, you go, I'm going to be president of this company someday. Of course you, and so you think, well, I'm going to be Seinfeld. I remember when I started, I was cocky, okay? But now, to me, like, I love doing stand-up. I love, right now, we're driving, my wife and I are driving, we're just going to go do an open mic night. You know, we get out of the house, go do an open mic. Wow. Work on some material. I love doing stand-up. Okay, so me, everything else besides stand-up is a bonus, like television and Last Comic and Spec. They're a bonus, but you need those bonuses to keep you out in the clubs and keep your face out there. But you know, like true comics never really quit comedy. They do comedy until they're, you know, dead. Till they're, you know, you go to the Friars Club or see some of these shows. These guys are, you know, 300 years old still doing stand-up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I love doing stand-up. I've always loved, you know, I'll tell you a story. When Chris Rock hosted the Oscars, I was one of the writers.
Right.
So I'm backstage at the Oscars that year. My wife and I, after the Oscars, go to the Governor's Ball.
Sure.
You know, it's one of the biggest moments of my life and career, you know, in the entertainment business. The gift basket, the Oscar gift basket, everything that goes around with the Oscars. Some of the things I wrote got on the show, meeting, whatever. So that was a Sunday night. Monday, the following night, I went to an open mic in Los Angeles and bombed in front of five people in the audience. Okay? And that was reality. I didn't have to do that, but I like doing comedy. So,
right.
You know, I went from the highest high to, oh, these seven Europeans don't get what the fuck I'm saying. But it was fun. It was fun for me. Both nights were fun. You know what I mean?
So that's the. I mean, that seems to be the key. You seem to have fun every time you're up on stage, regardless of whether the audience is digging you or not.
Yeah. I mean, the other night I was at some club in St. Augustine, and the second show was really late, like 50 people.
Right.
I did an hour and a half, but I did all crowd. I did, you know, hardly any material. I just ad-libbed, you know, did crowd work and had fun with it.
Sure.
You know, it was a good time. I mean, some lady cried, but you know what? You can't win a medal.
In many circles, that's success.
She was the one from the one in St. Augustine, Florida. The one lady that's crying after the show is from L.A. Of course she's crying. We loved you on TV. We voted for you. Oh, shut up, fatso. Okay. All right, you voted for me. Well, you put down your chicken wings and called them and voted. Nobody cares. Go dip your arm in cheese and have a fucking cheese log arm sandwich. Creep. Nobody cares about you, fatso. Anyhow, what I'm saying is, it was fun. I know that was kind of mean, wasn't it? I was just attacking all. You know, have you ever seen? Listen, I don't know. You guys could be the heaviest crew on the planet for all I know. And most like if you're in radio.
They cannot even be there anymore for all you know.
What do you mean they're not there anymore? They didn't hang up on you. You hang up on me?
Fuck no, we didn't hang up on you.
Okay, well, listen. You guys might be big people because most big people are. I mean, radio, you know, you're on radio, so you don't really have time to exercise, so you have an excuse.
Yeah, thanks, Rich. Yeah.
But, did you watch Oprah? No, not Oprah. What was it? Nightline, where they had the...
I always get those mixed up.
What's that?
I said I always get those two mixed up.
Yeah. Did you when they had the two, the skinny people arguing against the fat people? Did you see that on Nightline the other night?
No, is this about the whole Kevin Smith thing?
No, well, they do that in, of course. Hey, well, what are the odds that Kevin Smith gets thrown off a plane a week before his fucking movie's coming out? Who would have guessed? I guess those 40 meatloaf milkshakes before you got on the plane didn't help boost publicity. He's my friend. friend. I met him twice. So he's such a good fucking friend. How come I'm not in any of his movies? Right? Old dumb Norton coattail hanger on. I'm not lashing out. Bonnie says I'm lashing out.
No, you know what? You know, man,
I'm going to push her out of the car. She's really fucking up my interview.
This is therapy. This is you're doing a great job. We're talking to Rich.
What's that?
We're talking to Rich Voss, and we're listening to Bonnie. And this is Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, Sherry Stevens, Jeff. John DeCoven, Jeff Moranis. Fuck you. I know who you are. You're just never fucking time. God damn it. Put name tags.
What can we do as me as an entertainer and you guys, whatever the fuck you call yourself, what can we do to get this girl out of prison in Italy? That's what I watched on Oprah yesterday. I really think she's innocent. Just Amanda, whatever her last name.
So I don't know. I don't know the story.
Oh, no, you know the story. The college, the college girl who they say murdered the roommate in Italy. You don't know that story?
Oh yeah, that's still. Oh, she's still in jail. Okay.
It was a whole sex. It was a whole sex thing.
Yeah.
She's still in jail. Yeah, for 25 and a half more years. Yeah, man, I feel really bad about this. All right, let's move on.
He caught me off guard. He was so sincere.
You get Bob Dylan to write a song about it, I guess. I don't know. Worked for Hurricane Carter. I don't know the story. When I said I don't know the story, it means I don't know the story.
Okay.
So now, do you sit home and, I mean, because obviously you work at night. Do you sit home during the day and see random shit on TV and think that would be good to write? Do you write your material? I mean, are you kind of, you know, some comedians, comics, they keep a notebook and they're just constantly jotting shit down. Other people, they just keep it in their head. I mean, what's your process on this?
Basically in my head, or I just write down two words that will remind me.
And that's all you need.
And then I don't sit, I come up with my stuff on stage or just, it comes to me or whatever, or, you know, it just comes, you know. My new one is I'm trying to work on this Cash for Clunkers bit I'm writing, which is, you know, ridiculous because it's basically just a trade-in, you know, and how the American public, and I read a bit on it, but I just put down on my notes or on my phone, Cash for Clunkers, and I know the bit.
And that's what you need to get going on it. Yeah, and you start riffing and then see how the audience responds.
Yeah, and this is, when I work, you'll never see the same show twice. You'll see some of the same material, obviously.
Sure,
you'll never
see,
like, I'm not that kind of comic, because I'd lose my mind if I was doing that word by word.
No, I mean, that's what you said before about, you know, Colin and Patrice and the people that I really find funny. I mean, not just that I admire them, but I find funny is that these people basically create an alternative universe. They kind of bring you inside their head. It's a little bit off of the real universe, and it's funny as a son of a bitch. And, like, you go on that ride with them, and when you're doing it, I'm going on this ride with you. When you're performing, whether it's on the radio, whether it's, you know, on stage, I'm on the ride with you. I'm in your head. I'm on the ride with you. It's a strange world, but I'm there with you in real time. And if it was the same ride every day, it would be boring for everybody involved. So, I mean, I definitely get that.
And then, and it wouldn't be fun. I mean, whatever.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. Don't worry. It's just come on your chin.
And I'm going to wipe my fucking chin now. Because I'm thinking, oh my God, there's cum on my chin. Thank you, Rich. So I'm guessing...
wiped up, which is a little scary.
So I'm guessing that... I have not looked through your entire biography, but I don't think that you've been on Inside the Actor's Studio with Jim Lipton yet. Is that right?
Yeah. I'm going to get on that for the 3 minutes in a fucking F movie I've been in. He doesn't use. Do they use a lot of comics? I know Chappelle was on that, but do comics, a lot of comics get on that?
Not a tremendous number. A lot of writers and performers. I don't know that he's had quite as many.
How come they never ask him the real questions?
Well, so.
Now he's having a conversation.
Yeah, that's what we're doing, having a conversation.
God forbid.
So since I figure that. Ahead. Yeah, so I mean, so since I. Well, I'm sorry. No, you talk. So, I mean, since I figure that probably neither one of us is going to be on that show anytime soon, I wanted to ask you the questions that Lipton asks at the end from that Bernard Pivot questionnaire each week. So, we got the 10 questions. You willing to give me some answers on them?
All right, let's see if I can do this.
All right, here you go. What's your favorite word?
Food.
All right.
I'm going to take it, too.
Are you going to take it, too? What's your least favorite word?
My least favorite word would probably be Can it be two words or has it be just one?
Sure. No, no. Yeah, that's fine.
Insurance. Right now would be insurance.
Okay. Well, that's just one word.
Yeah, well, I was going to say health insurance.
Okay.
Which would have been two. Thank you.
All right. What's
are these supposed to be real or funny?
No, no, I think they're just real. No, this was Marcel Proust developed this questionnaire, I think, to try to get to an essence of a person. And then Bernard Pivot, well, I don't know why. None of my audience will understand any of this shit. So.
And then what do you do, feed it into a computer?
No, it's supposed to give you some insight. I don't, it's a jumping off point for, okay. What turned you on?
All right, let's start over. Start over now.
I know. All right, you want to start over?
Yeah.
All right, what's your favorite word?
Food. No,
much better.
Yeah, but I believed him that time.
My favorite word,
he was invested.
Well, okay, my favorite word, was that bonus?
I think he said bonus?
Bonus.
No, oh, bonus. Oh, bonus. Bonus is his favorite word. Okay, cool, bonus. What is your least favorite word?
Insurance.
All right. What turns you on?
A good round of golf.
What turns you off?
A bad round of golf.
What turns me off?
Yeah.
Liberal radio.
What sound or noise do you love?
The car door slamming on my wife's finger.
All right. What sound or noise do you hate?
Her saying I'm okay. I know, a dentist drill.
Oh, that's a good one.
All right, that is a good one. Yeah. What is your favorite curse word?
I guess I would have to say...
come on.
Fuck, I guess.
All right.
I don't know. I guess, I mean, I don't know.
My favorite word?
No, curse word. My favorite curse word? No, don't say that. Jeez.
And it could only be one.
Did I say my favorite curse word?
Yeah, you can say anything you want.
Well, there's only so many curse words. There's, I mean, it's what? Fuck, shit, bitch. No, cunt's not a curse word. That's not a curse word. That's part of the female anatomy. Curse word. It's not a curse word. No one ever goes, cunt off.
Another ringtone.
You're going, oh, look at that fucking cunt. The curse word would be fucking. That's the adjective. Cunt would be the noun.
Ah, jeez. Okay. So for those of you who are diagramming that sentence.
Right. I don't know, I'm no scientist, but I don't think cunt is in the biology encyclopedia.
I think we can just stop
with... curse word. Do you think they had that back in the days? Hello?
What? Yeah, we're sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap this up. Okay, what's the next question?
We're doing good here. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Probably psychology or drug counselor.
What profession would you not like to do?
I guess internet radio host.
You cunt.
At least you could be a man and curse at me.
And the 10th question, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
We're all sold out.
Two-item minimum.
The interview's over.
Rich, I really do want to thank you so very much for agreeing to be a guest on our shitty little podcast today.
It's not shitty. It's fun. It's fun. This is a good way to... I'm almost at my destination.
Outstanding. So
this, you know... listen... Come out and see me at Tommy T's. John, we'll play golf when I'm out there. We'll go out to Half Moon Bay.
Give me a call.
All right. Rich, thank you so very much. Really do appreciate it. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I'll send you a link to the clip of this segment so that you can have
it. You ever hear the recycle bin? Why don't you just send it straight to my recycle bin?
Yeah. I'll send it to Norton. He'll know what to do with it.
All right. Thanks, you guys.
Thank
good
you,
luck
my
with
friend.
Everything.
All right. Thanks very much. Have a great day.
Wait, real quick.
Yeah, sure.
new special coming out this summer called Comics Anonymous.
Oh, outstanding. All right, cool. We'll make a note of it. Maybe we can bug you again then.
Maybe we can watch it together.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, my friend.
Wait.
Have a great
Thank you. <Bye. laughs>
Thank you, Rich. Bye-bye.
We're not friends.
That wasn't me.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye-bye. There you go. And that's how you play Schnauzer Logic.
Wow.
But you see how he warmed up.
Yeah.
Because at first I thought you were kind of thinking like, oh, what the fuck?
Not at all.
Oh,
no.
Really?
I thought it went great.
You seemed a little worried.
Not at all.
No? Okay.
Not even for a second.
Okay.
No.
No.
Okay.
No, the worst interview I ever had was fucking Kip Adada hanging up on me.
I didn't mean in the interview. I mean, when you got him on the phone, you looked at
you never know when you're calling somebody on the phone.
Right.
You don't know, like, they're in the middle of something, they're going to. He was on his cell phone, he was going, I'm guessing, from his home to his car. You know what I mean?
So
you catch people in the middle. The days of everybody sitting someplace by a real phone with a cord on it, I mean, I was such a goof, I told him to go pick up the other line.
Right. Well, that's what I was thinking. Like, you know, they don't, you know, the thing is, kids nowadays have no idea what that's. Remember in our days, right?
Yes. You
say, hey, get on the other line.
Yes. Remember, okay, I'm older than you are. I do remember
right,
that.
Right.
A funny son of a bitch.
That was a good interview.
That was good.
And that's why you were kind of saying, like, come in, but I wanted you to kind of do your thing with him because it was such a good interview.
Well, I meant everything that I said. He's a funny son of a bitch. I love him on Opie and Anthony. He is game for anything that they throw at him fucking time. And when he's on the show, it's just better.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great show, and and when he's on, it's a better show.
And he's right. He really is. He loves comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, even at Bunjo's, you know, the one thing. This is a serious. I was going to say this when he was on, but it's hard to be serious with him. He did two shows. They were both different, just like he said. And the great thing is, it was a small room.
Right.
And you were right there with him, which was great for us, but most people can't see a guy like that because he's going to be... I mean, even Tommy T's, he's going to have 300 people. He's going to be up on a high stage.
So what you're saying is we would enjoy him better if he were sitting in Sherry's seat.
He would definitely... Well, when he did the show even there, he sat on a stool most of the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just very intimate, but it was so funny.
You racist. All right.
Okay. I missed that one.
I don't know. We've got to take a break. Thank you, Rich. Rich Voss. RichVoss.com. We'll put all the links on the website. He's got a CD. Let's see. I have the name of the CD. I meant to plug that. The CD is called I'm Killing Here. We'll put links for the CD. We'll put links for his YouTube page and his Facebook page and all that bullshit. You'll be able to know everything there is about Rich Voss. And if you haven't heard of him before, you've heard of him now, and you know that he's somebody that you ought to be following because he's a funny son of a bitch. All right, here's what we'll do. We'll take a break. We'll play some more songs. We'll come back on the other side, and we'll talk about stuff and nonsense. You are listening to Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, Sherry Stevens, John DeCoven, and Jeff Moranis. All inviting you to please stick around.
Stick around for more Schnauzer Logic. Too late.
temperature, cause to me she's 0 degrees, she cold. Overfreeze, I got that girl from overseas. Now she's my Miss America, now can I be her soldier, please? I'm fighting for this girl on the battlefield of love. Don't it look like baby Cupid sending arrows from above? Don't you ever leave the side of me, indefinitely, not probably, and honestly, I'm down like the economy. Yeah.
Feel that in every way, this new radio series offers an unusual opportunity to combine broad popular appeal with truly distinguished radio treatment.
Oh, and this one time, at band camp, I stuck a flute in my pussy.
Frisco!
Hello?
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're, I don't know, around 57 minutes, close to finishing up the very first hour here of a Schnauzer Logic, episode number 77. Robin Goldstein, host, buddy, and pal, straight white booze, vegetarian, lesbian, attorney, white, chopped in the body, recovering, transsexual, woman, patent attorney, possessed with humor, and master's degree in city planning, schnauzerlogic.com. We got the phone line open if you want to be a part of the show, 408-335-4755. That is 408-335-4755. Let's say welcome back to Jeff Morales.
Son of Easton.
Say welcome back, Sherry Stevens.
Son of Easton.
Welcome back to John DeCoven.
Son of Easton.
Now, you asked me before, and I said to you that I had this thing. So this was from... So this is just an image, right? So okay. We'll put this up on the webpage. We'll get our good friend Boyana to do this. This is a teacher-assigned detention notice from Redmond Junior High School. Okay. And the student is Dalton Duncan, who is now my hero. The teacher is Kay Krause. This happened in May 5th of last year. Reason for detention, and this is what it says. Another student made the comment, quote, "You need to push it in further," left paren, innocent comment, right paren, and Dalton added, "That's what she said."
Oh, that's great.
That's what's on this note, this handwritten
note. Now, where do you get
here
something like that?
You know, I'm constantly reading Boing Boing, and okay. I'm always right looking for stuff online. I mean, right. I'm just constantly searching for, you know, the never-ending world of sports and shit
okay.
like that.
That's
so
funny.
So anyhow, we'll put that up online, and also I want to thank Boyana once again for doing the show notes last week. She did a shorter version because I had really long notes last week. So she took some time off, and what I said to her is, in the future, if I do a long set of notes, then you can use the time to write about something else. Tell us a little something about your country that we don't know. Meanwhile, I talked to somebody in Bulgaria on my ham radio this weekend.
Oh, that's nice. Awesome.
It was very, very cool. So an intersection of my two worlds. This past weekend. Let's see, the other thing I wanted to do was we've been getting donations from people, and I want to thank everyone who's donated. Most of the time I don't call out your name because I don't know whether you want me to call out your name or you don't want me to call out your name. So, but there's one person I want to thank in particular. If I don't think I've thanked her before, and that is my friend Marjorie. Marjorie gave us a very nice donation on the anniversary, our 75th anniversary. Marjorie has been a loyal listener from the beginning. She has been meticulous about listening to every show and providing notes and comments on every show and being a booster of the show and telling her friends about the show. And you know, people who are your friends, you don't really thank them. You tend to thank the people that you don't know more than the right people that you do know. And so, Marjorie, I just wanted to say thank you so very much for what you've done for the show and for being my friend and for that lovely donation. So we were talking about the Bernard Pivot questionnaire. So mm-hmm. you borrowed it during the break there. So you have it in front of you here. Why don't you let Jeff read the questions and you can give him the answers?
Oh, okay.
Because I don't think we have any of the other. Can we still hear you
yep.
there? All right, good.
I hope so.
All right, very good.
You ready?
Yep.
So your favorite word, what is it?
Sunny.
Okay. That's going well.
It makes me feel happy.
Excellent, good. What's your least favorite word? And I'm going to guess.
It's cunt. I hate that word.
You know, it's just a body part.
The problem is, that's my answer to the next question, which is what turns you on. But what's your answer?
The ocean, water, being around water.
I figured I should answer too, right?
Did you just say test?
No, tits.
Oh, tits.
Breasts. Right.
Okay. Nice. Covering the whole male demographic. Excellent. We can skip them. What sound or noise do you love?
Wait, you missed
the question. I did. I'm horrible at this. You're so good at this. Robin makes it look so easy. I pick up one piece of paper. I get five friggin' questions to ask.
We're all good. We're all good here.
All right, so here we go. What turns you off?
Debauchery.
Excuse me while I make a little
bit. Yeah, I don't even know what the fuck what does that mean?
Well, you know, I'm just trying to think. Whatever makes me really feel like, ugh.
Okay.
And that's like when I'm...
So
like,
creepy shit.
Creepy shit. Like when you're in Vegas and guys are really drunk, or, you know, when I'm in China and you see these...
Guys are really drunk.
Bringing these women up the elevator.
You're at work and guys are really drunk.
Being drunk, this doesn't work with you guys.
No, I mean, being a little tipsy is good. No, you know what I mean?
It shows you the difference, because when you ask that question to Sherry, it's an all-encompassing thing. And when you ask it to me, I'm just thinking in a sexual way. Turn-offs and turn-offs.
Yeah, I didn't go down there. Go there.
No pun intended. Because
yeah, no pun recognized.
No, there was one there. Don't pull that off.
That's what she said.
Very good.
Still champion.
So what did you have for what's
I
your
had hairy armpits.
Nice. I'll shave off. No problem.
And we haven't gone through your list either.
That's all right. No, you're fine. No, you guys
I don't have an answer to number four, I just left it blank. I haven't found something yet, so there we go. Okay, so now what sound or noise do you love?
My kids' voices. Oh my God, when they're babies. List. You know, when they were little.
But not now.
Hi, Mommy.
Now they just disappoint.
Now they just, like, transfer some money in my account, you know.
Which I just saw you do.
I just did.
Fantastic.
Because I'm a good mommy.
What sound or noise do you love?
I'm actually going to go away from that, and I don't, well, could I say music? That's too general.
You can say anything you want. There are no right or wrong answers.
Yeah, that's getting a flip on the box.
All right.
Yeah,
All right. Family Feud thing.
Okay.
Are we including Robin in this?
No, I'm not playing.
How come we don't get that on?
Because I'm not playing.
All right. Your rules. Exactly.
Yep. I'm not playing.
What sound or noise do you hate?
Fingernails on a chalkboard.
Nice.
I'd have to go with the dentist thing.
Yeah,
that drill.
That would be number two.
That drill. Right.
Number seven, I think this is the universal one. What's your favorite curse word? I think we have three versions of the same answer.
Jesus fucking Christ.
No H.
But
just
she whispered it.
Because the reason it's my favorite is because you're not supposed to say, you know, and those are things you're not supposed to say. Those
so you're cursing and blaspheming at the same time. Yes. And you gave him a middle name.
Oh, love the middle name. Yeah.
That's good.
John got.
That's good.
Works. Yeah. Closed. Agreed. What profession, other than your own, would you like to attempt?
That's a good question, and I don't have an answer for it.
All right.
Why that's hard for me is because I don't even know what my current profession is. But if I could, I would love to be a guitarist in a band.
Very cool. Do you play guitar?
I do, but not well and not for a long time.
Okay, then I'd like to be a singer in a
band. You answered.
I can't do either.
Just want to be a singer in a rock and roll band?
Yeah.
Okay.
They make a game for that now.
That's
$100.
I'm looking into it.
Yeah, we got the song.
What profession, this is number nine, would you not like to do?
A nurse. I think it's a thing.
I mean, that question's hard to answer because there's a million. Like, yeah. I wouldn't want to be a garbage man.
Really?
No.
Why?
I'm lazy.
Okay.
You get to ride in the back on that step.
Yeah.
It's a union job.
Nice.
You get to be outside all the time.
You only do it once a month and then you whack people.
Hopefully you don't take your work home with you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you get privy to good stuff because people leave good stuff.
I would think the Sopranos would make everybody want to be in the garbage.
Absolutely. Like, waste disposal.
Yeah.
Waste management. Yeah.
Okay, next.
If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Nicely done.
Oh, very good.
The reason they're saying if is because Jews don't believe in heaven.
But they're capitalizing the G in God, so they're kind of buying into it in one part of the sentence, but not buying into it.
Wow.
I'm getting flagged.
Boy,
anyway.
You're
okay,
really...
What's your answer?
I think that when I came in, he'd say...
Here's a note from your mom.
Yeah, I can't even think of a good one.
That's it, right?
Those are interesting.
Those are interesting. Yeah. Did you answer those?
He did a little.
Yeah, I did a little bit. Right. So, you know.
You just, went, all right, I'll...
I hate the word moist.
Mm. All right.
Really?
Moist, I think, is just a nasty sounding phonetically word. If someone's like, oh, this cake is so moist, it just makes you want to put it back down on the plate and
really?
Push it away.
Wow, that's it.
Like, I'm eating something that's moist. It's like moist.
I think soggy would be more.
No, moist is just
well,
a weird
that you
sounding.
Keep saying it, it's really irritating me.
Moist. It's just, I don't want it anymore.
Where's Parviz when you need him? I don't have answers for all of these. That's part of it. I've thought about it.
So he really does this at the end of his show? Mm-hmm.
At
James
the end
Lipton?
Of each show, yep. Before he turns it over, well, he goes, you know, here's your students.
Yeah, but you know what's unfair is since people know they have time to prepare for
right.
these answers.
With any luck, they do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The only one that I know for sure the answer to is number 10. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God's will when you arrive at the pearly gates? You make me laugh.
Aww.
That's good.
He's going to say
yeah.
that,
that's
too.
What, yeah. That's what I think. Is like,
you, and he's going to say, laugh all the way downstairs.
You make me laugh. The other ones, I'm not so sure about. I think they change over
time.
Yeah,
they
do. All right. Well, there you go. There you go. So, lots going on in the news this week. The Olympics and sports around all of us. I mean, a lot of it having to do with Olympics and sports. Tiger Woods, we should probably go to touch on Tiger Woods because he was the news last Friday. I mean, to the exclusion of everything that was real news.
Right.
We're all talking about fucking Tiger Woods fucking.
Well, it was amazing when you watched the news because I think John Stewart did a clip showing how there was a countdown to Tiger.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it was like, in 2 hours, Tiger Woods. You know, I mean, it was just
But not just on ESPN where I thought that you would find
it. Everywhere.
Everywhere.
I went through my high-def sports and news channels, and every fucking one of them was doing wall-to-wall Tiger,
exactly.
Followed by wall-to-wall commentary yep. on
right.
Tiger.
Right.
And you know, I mean, we can talk about what he said, and I'm interested in getting your perspective, because you've all heard it, or at least pieces of it at this point. But here's the thing that I'd like to ask you to address as you're sort of, you know, telling us what you think about this. A lot of this has to do with the fact that people say, well, he's a role model, and he owes this apology to the public, as opposed to this is merely a private matter between him and his wife and his family and really has nothing the fuck to do with us. But when you look at these high-paid athletes, whether it's in golf, whether it's Barry Bonds or Mark McGwire or any of these sports stars, we somehow feel, at least in this country, that these people owe us something more than their performance, that they owe us something extra, not just to be the best at their sport, but to be something more than that. And that just seems insane to me. Like, I don't know where that comes from, and I don't buy into that. And I'm wondering what you guys think about that. Well, I mean, we'll start over here with you and Sherry.
Well, I didn't see the press release. I did read...
Well, it wasn't a press release. It was a conference.
press conference.
So here's a question. How could you have missed it?
I don't know.
What channel did you find? How could you have not seen Tiger Woods' press conference anywhere?
Or highlights.
I'm not trying to be mean, but it's like,
so
how is that
Friday,
possible?
I don't know. Friday night I was gone somewhere. I did something Friday night, and I did something Saturday night, and so I wasn't really watching TV till Sunday.
Okay.
And it's within 24 hours, it's gone. You know, you're not... So I did go on the internet. I read a little bit of the transcripts.
Okay.
So... I want to go last.
Well, why would you? But I'm actually really curious why you would read the transcript and not watch the video.
Time, you know, and I.
Isn't
first
it
of all,
quicker I'm, to watch a video and less lazy and more laziness?
No. I just scanned through. I just okay. thought, what did he say?
Because you really need to see it because reading it doesn't give you, it's not just the words, you know, it's the way he was, and
it's
it was,
like porn
it, right exactly yeah. I mean,
and
it was just
Tiger.
It was just so scripted. I mean, I would almost bet that in his thing it said, okay, after this line
look up
in the camera, after this line pause. He makes me look like Regis Philbin or he was just the most. It was the most boring, no emotion.
Well, robotic is the word that
robotic.
People.
Right.
Robotic
right.
is the word that people used repeatedly.
And my main thing is he, in that sense, is trying to have his cake and eat it too, because he's saying, "Okay, this is."
I think he's trying to have his cake and fuck it.
Right. Exactly.
I know that was moist cake.
It was a cheap.
Sorry, Joe.
Good one, Sherry. Nice.
I did not eat moist cake.
But he's saying, okay, he wants us to be private and between his family. Then it's like, you know what? Then you don't need to do the apology on TV.
Absolutely.
Do the apology in front of them. Don't let TV broadcast it. And the thing is, then we'll move from, you can, I'm done. Is when he said, when he looked at the camera and said, and I want to make one thing clear. What's her name? The wife, Elon?
Yeah, she wrote the speech.
And he said, Elon did not hit me in any way or do this. Basically, that reminded me of when Bill Clinton looked into the camera and said, I did not have sex with that woman. I mean, he is so full of shit. She hit him many times. I mean, I'm done.
Well, you know, I just didn't care enough to try to, you know, that's the thing. It's like, I'm so tired of hearing about it, you know, and so I didn't care enough to watch the whole thing.
All right.
But I did scan it, and it's like, yeah. He said all the things that I thought he would have said, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. My life got, you know, I felt that I was, what, larger than life or, you know, something, you know, something.
He said
about
he was entitled.
Entitled,
that's
right.
The word that everybody's picked up on, is that he said that he felt entitled.
Right.
Right.
And there's a part of me that says, you should feel entitled. What's wrong with feeling entitled? When did feeling entitled become a bad thing? I mean that sincerely. I mean from a personal responsibility point of view, I can understand him saying what I was doing was selfish. You know what I mean? What I was doing was hurtful to people that I loved, and therefore was, you know, not considerate. But to say that he felt entitled and everybody's like, "Well, you shouldn't feel entitled." It's like, really? Should we not feel entitled? When I work really hard and I have good things, I don't think, thank you. It's like, I feel a bit entitled. Like, I worked really hard because we live in a result-driven economy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so if, you know, if A, then B. If I work my ass off and I kiss ass when necessary and I do the things I'm supposed to do, then I feel like I should be getting something back. That's the deal that we make. That's why we go to school. It's why we go to college. It's why we're willing to work at these shitty jobs sometimes, 40, 50, 60 hours a week, because we're going to get time off and we're going to have money so we can go on vacation and all those kinds of things. You feel entitled to that. If somebody said to you, you could never use any of the money that you earned working all of the hours that you work to enjoy yourself. You still have to live in a little shithole and drive a shit box and eat shit food. You go, well, that's not fair. I'm
working so hard.
Right.
I feel entitled.
So where does that? So I mean, I throw that open to you too.
All right. So entitlement is one thing, but integrity is another.
No question
about
it.
You know. So and so that's what it was. I just kind of scanned to see what his, I don't want to say excuse, but what his you know reaction to all this would have been.
Yeah.
And it seemed exactly what I thought. You know, I'm sorry. It's a private matter between a man and his wife, and you know, whatever, but
and
I
his
didn't.
Mistresses and their lawyers.
Oh,
yeah.
and we didn't even talk about frickin' Gloria Allred.
I missed all that. So you guys,
you've been usually silent on this.
Thanks a lot. Yeah.
it's the chair.
Well, I don't want to cut Sherry off because she sounds so sweet. And
yeah.
God obviously seems to like you because he's going to say nicely done. I want to see the list behind that question that gets you. Now, there's two thoughts on Tiger. The first one, you know, I get frustrated with, you know, pick another type of role model, like pick a doctor. You've never gone in for an appointment and had the receptionist come out and say, you know, Dr. Smith isn't going to be able to do his work today because he was having an extramarital affair and he's got to go take some time off. So in one sense, it's like, I don't understand this whole stoppage of work and I've got to stop and atone for what I've done because nobody else is doing this. This isn't like, wow, Tiger didn't do this. He's trying to skip this step. It's just for some reason we assume that he did. So I'll give him that one. I don't know that he owes us an apology. He didn't let teammates down. He didn't miss appointments. You know, when the doctor doesn't...
He didn't bet on the game.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he didn't do anything other than just do, you know... And once the police kind of closed what they did, then, you know, that's the part that the public, okay, guys, go away. But what I think really happened is you have to sit back, well, why the hell would he apologize? You know, and then I start to think the driver for the apology has to be his wife in terms of you look at what he said... and the topics. And I really think that it's more from her side that you're going to go out there and you're going to apologize and you're going to make sure that everybody knows that I had nothing to do with this. And you're going to tell them to leave us alone at school and not follow us here. And you're going to give a special apology to all those people that you've let down that have looked up to you. And Tiger went out and did exactly that. I think that apology was a bigger play to manage some situation from getting worse with his spouse. Like, if you really want to make it up to me, if you really want this to work, you go out there and you fucking apologize.
Right.
And then what looks like sorrow and kind of remorse in his eyes, you can really start to see is just indignation that I've got to read this thing. And then John's point's perfect. He went out there and did to the letter what she demanded of him. And he even used phrases that seemed kind of unnatural for if you were professing your own apology. And he said things like, and let me make one thing clear, you know, Elin, you know, did not beat me. She never attacked me. There's never any, you know,
violence. Or he also said, Elin pointed out to me.
Exactly, or you something know, like that. Yeah. And then at the end, when he said a special apology, nobody making an apology stops and says, oh, and I want to make a special apology. That's a phrase when you're like, and when you're done, you make a special apology to these. I think he was under instruction.
Wow.
So there you go.
This keep his marriage together.
Really analyzed
I don't think it's to keep his marriage together. I think it's her being, I'm going to play nice on the dissolution of whatever we're doing, and I'm not going to drudge all the rest of this up. I think she holds some very damaging things still that will keep him from being...
From earning a living.
From earning a living.
From earning the kind of...
Because at the end of the day, it all comes back to why would Tiger need to apologize? Because if this wasn't the case, I think what would happen is the press would be saying to Accenture or to who, you know, whoever
Nike,
else would,
yeah,
Nike,
right.
So what about Tiger? Like, oh, you know what? He apologized to us in a private ceremony. We accepted it. He's a good guy, and we're good. The fact that it was public, that's angry spouse, and I think that's what it is. And
that's interesting.
So I don't know. And his and the way he hugged his mom at the end was like you could almost see on the paper. Now go hug mom.
Yeah.
And then there was something pointing out which woman that was.
But it was a Michael Corleone Fredo moment there.
No, but he came in and he looked like that toy that you used to pick up those worthless toys at the. It just came in slow and bent over, and then kind of looked back, you know. And she was patting and patting and patting, and he was just kind of confused and holding, kind of like you know. In that it looked, you say. Fred, you're making the Godfather reference. I'm thinking more Young Frankenstein when Peter Boyle does the first hug on, you know, on Gene Wilder.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's what I saw up there. But anyway, not that I have an opinion. So.
No, you don't need to back off of this shit. And listen, I mean, we all have our own
problems. Analysis.
Yeah,
thank you.
It's very good analysis. It sounds like someone who's actually been married at one point that might, you know.
Married badly. with half his shit across the ocean. So.
I don't know.
I think we've all been divorced in this.
Yeah.
Well, no, I guess you're.
Yeah. is this another segment?
Your first or second?
Hopefully, it's my first and last divorce.
Okay.
But,
okay. All right. Yeah.
You're going through that right now?
Yeah.
It's okay. It's as the movie title goes. It's complicated.
Okay. Yeah.
No, but
I wish I had a chance to tell my mom ahead of this. She's going to listen to the show before I can get to her, but that's fine. Mom, I'm fine. Don't worry.
What do you mean she's going to listen to it before you get to her? I mean, you can call her right after we're done.
She's not listening to it live.
No, she's probably not. No. I like to hope that she is.
Nobody's listening to it live. 408-335-4755. 408-335-4755. Just giving out random numbers. I don't know whose phone
and
will
let's
ring.
Just wait for the phone to ring.
So anyways, that's Tiger. What else we got today?
Shamu.
Shamu. I gave you the Shamu story. That's horrible.
It's horrible, and they only give you like 6 lines to work from. So
it is. But what will Jimmy? What will Jimmy Kimmel do with it? But by the way, if I have to tell you guys, I'm a Dave Letterman fan. It's kind of number one. I love Letterman. I like Conan. I sort of was I got behind him on this whole Conan, you know, Leno thing. But I like Letterman first. I think Craig Ferguson does some really interesting stuff. In fact, he did a really interesting show last night. He did a show without an audience last night.
Really?
Which I'll talk a little bit about when we get back from the next break. Yeah, but. But I don't watch Jimmy Kimmel very often, and yet I think he is the undiscovered gem. I think he is...
Oh, he's my number one.
He's doing parodies and little film bits, and like somehow he has managed to slip under the radar, and as a result, he's getting away with doing shit that I don't think anybody else could do. He had the when the Tiger thing came out, he had the Tiger from was it Siegfried and Roy came out and like I'd have to apologize for eating Roy. And you know it's like
he also had the Tiger collective plates. Like where you could collect a plate for each mistress. That's, you know how they have those.
Oh my God.
You
know?
The Franklin Mint. Yeah.
Franklin Mint.
You own a couple.
Let's
sets.
Not go into my garage. I have the Three Stooges set, and I have the Simpsons set.
Do you have 68 comeback Elvis?
No. Are you still missing
that
one?
I've Kimmel is my number one. I love that show. It's just hilarious.
He's so. What do we know about the Shamu? Since we brought it up here, we ought to probably mention it here. Some horrible news story, and everybody will be talking about it for the next
day. It's not good. Yeah, he just literally out of the water grabbed a
and in front
lunch.
Of a live audience.
Yes.
And they're trying to decide.
Okay, so just for our listeners so that they know, Shamu is the whale in the San Diego SeaWorld.
Okay.
And I don't know how long he's been there, but I remember seeing
there's
him,
like so 10 Shamus. They're in a pen behind, and they say, and here comes Shamu.
Oh, Shamu. So one of the whales. Right. Okay.
It's kind of like George Foreman's kid. They're all named George.
Sort of.
But they haven't eaten anybody, allegedly.
So they do this live animal show in the water with these whales, and they come out and do, you know, with dolphins, they come out and do tricks. And apparently Shamu, or one of the Shamus, mean angry, hungry Shamu,
yes,
came out of the water and ate an audience member?
No, it was a trainer.
Did he eat the whole trainer? What does it say?
The whole train.
I mean, what? No, he only wanted a thigh.
I feel bad because it's a sad piece of news.
We're not laughing. It's a sad piece of news, but you've raised it here, and I'm not editing the show, so.
Yeah. I raised it. I just heard about it when I walked in.
I like how he's the one that brought up the article, and I know more about it than he does.
Well, that's not hard.
He has the article in front of him. Could somebody read the article out loud?
Sure. SeaWorld in San Diego has canceled its... Or you don't want me to do this.
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
okay, good. Back to SeaWorld in San Diego has canceled its Shamu whale show for at least Wednesday after an Orlando SeaWorld employee was killed in an encounter with a whale at the theme park. We're terribly saddened by the loss of the member of our SeaWorld family. It doesn't matter what park, said SeaWorld San Diego spokesman.
Have happened at SeaWorld Orlando.
SeaWorld in San Diego has canceled its show after Orlando. Oh, I get it. So this piece of news, that's why there's no detail in this story. This is San Diego saying we're shutting down too because of the Orlando incident.
So we should have gone to the Orlando paper.
We should have gotten the second hit on the
I was just giving a shout out to my fiance, Julie. She said she can see us on the video.
Hey, Julie.
We're talking about
how are
you?
We're talking about, yeah, exactly. All right.
So cool. It works, apparently.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Is she our only watcher?
I don't know.
Impossible.
I don't know.
No, we got thousands.
Yes, we have thousands.
No, but I mean, last time...
No, we have bosses off. We don't have to fake us anymore.
So here's a question, and I'm not a funny thing. So do you destroy the whale or not? And I say you don't.
Well, I don't know about this. No, why would you destroy the whale? That would be punishment. Why would you punish the whale for being a whale?
Right, exactly.
I
just wonder if people will say, you know what, now that this happened, the whale needs to be destroyed in the same way when dogs attack and things like that.
Well, I think the whale, though, you could take back out to the ocean, can't you?
You can do that with dogs.
That's actually what they do.
I don't know enough about animals to know that if an animal attacks a human being once, whether they're likely to do it again. Now, this is not the first time that this particular whale, I guess, has gone after a trainer, right? I mean, I thought I'd read or heard that this was like the third time.
Yeah, this is the third time that Orlando whale has taken a victim.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so, I mean...
Well, in this case, they need to do something with the whale, but clearly he should not be a part of the show.
No, clearly, yes.
I would like to see the whale's version of that list, if you think about it.
Yes.
It's like the fucking... worst food, that fucking herring. Like, worst sound, that whistle.
What's your favorite word? Trainers.
What's your favorite food? Trainer. I didn't say that. We'll edit that.
But I think the favorite curse word would still be cunt. I don't know why. I just think from whale's point of view.
It's a rewarding sound. It's just phonetically cunt. It's like a block of wood striking a block of wood.
That's the one word that I can't even say on stage.
Try it.
I mean,
cunt.
No, I mean, I can say it, but I would just never use that word in a joke.
Do it.
I mean, I would use cock.
Teacher's coming back.
Do it.
I'd use pussy. I'd use fuck. I mean, but that word... I think actually that word is worse than the N-word.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because
I wouldn't say the other one, but I'll say cunt all day. cunt.
Well, you lived in London for a long time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have the same impact in the UK.
It doesn't.
Right?
God forbid you say shag. You smoke a fag. No big deal.
Right.
No, but I mean, they throw around the C word.
Cunt, no problem.
Very differently. It does not have that emotional connection.
Nothing.
It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't have the same emotional.
It's like bollocks.
Right.
It's just, but...
Yeah.
Dog's bollocks is cool, but if it's just bollocks, it's an insult. It's horrible. It's a curse word. So I guess you could say dog's cunt over here and it would be okay. I don't know. Stop staring, please.
That's what she said.
Can we get that kid on the show?
I shouldn't have been hesitant on that one. Yeah. I should have just committed.
Yeah, you should just go out. Just
we'll
come right
another,
in.
All right, we'll take another break. We'll play another tune. We'll come back on this side. We got more stuff to talk about here. We got a whole list of things. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic, Robin Goldstein, Jeff Moranis, Sherry Stevens, and John DeCoven of Bunjos. All inviting you to please stick around.
I parked behind a truck that says Bunjos.
That must be your...
That's the trouble around here. Talk, talk, talk. Oh, sometimes I think I must go mad.
We'll be back with more Schnauzer Logic.
Sorry.
That I was such a fool.
I have let you down.
I didn't know.
My behavior has been a disappointment.
Love could be so cruel.
I'm embarrassed.
Oh, 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 oh.
What I did is not acceptable. I am sorry.
Tell me.
I was unfaithful.
Mistake.
I cheated. I have let down my fans.
The wrong that's been done.
I never thought about who I was hurting. Instead, I thought only about myself.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
So sorry. Please accept my apology.
I hurt my wife.
But love is blind.
My kids.
And I was too blind to see.
My mother, my wife's family. My friends. We have a lot to discuss.
You tell me.
I have brought this on myself.
Mistake.
I need to regain my balance. Thank you.
But I don't write.
Every one of you has good reason to be critical.
The wrong that's been done.
Everyone who has reached out to me and my family.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
So sorry.
I'm deeply sorry.
Please accept my apology.
As Elon pointed out to me.
Love was blind, and I was too blind to see.
Sorry.
Hey, things could be worse. We could be talking about you right now.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
That was courtesy of the Ron Owens program, KGO. Who is their production guy up there?
Mike Amatori.
Mike Amatori, KGO. So that's a little Steelovision. We didn't ask permission, but we thank them anyhow.
Yeah, I don't think they care.
Better to ask forgiveness than permission.
Exactly.
So thank
Unless
you,
you're
Mike.
Tiger.
And
which is apparently what he's doing.
Nicely done. So we want to talk about the Olympics, what's going on with the Olympics, but there's also a connection to the world of comedy in the Olympics, which you brought up to me. And I started seeing people tweeting about this fellow and whatever it is, and I don't know enough about it. So, but you've met him or
no? I haven't met him. Andrew Koenig, who was a
Andrew Koenig.
Is it Koenig? I think it's pronounced Koenig.
Okay,
but he was on a sitcom in the United States called Growing Pains. He was, he was a child star, I guess, but not
sure.
The main guy. And his dad, Walter, plays
Mr. Chekhov in the original Star Trek. Yeah.
And there's a comedian in L.A. His name's Jimmy Pardo. Has a great podcast called Never Not Funny, and he's a great stand-up. And I'm not friends with the guy, but whenever I see him, he knows.
Are you like Voss friends with the guy?
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like that.
Get him on the show.
Is Pardo the prop comic character on the Seinfeld episodes? Sometimes hanging out?
No.
I don't know. That's a good question.
But actually, interestingly enough, he does have the same style as Voss. It's all crowd work and very funny guy. Anyways, his that's his brother-in-law. So his wife, that's the brother. And the wife, Danielle, I think her name's Danielle, is a stand-up comic too.
Okay.
And Pardo actually had just gotten the job to be the warm-up guy for Conan.
Right.
So when Conan started, he got the job as the warm-up and, of course, lost that job, and then this happened. So
you say when Pardo started, he got the job as the warm-up?
No, when Conan started.
So who was the warm-up? Pardo was
Pardo.
The warm-up? So this has nothing to... But this guy isn't Pardo. This is
his brother-in-law.
So... So you said that before and it didn't make any sense to me. So
what I'm explaining,
Pardo lost the job at Conan, has nothing to do with this guy. And
no. What I'm explaining is what
the relationship.
I'm just explaining the relationship that he lost his job, and now a week and a half or 3 weeks later, now his brother-in-law is missing,
which is actually the headline of the story that we haven't
mentioned
yet.
I'm explaining the connection. Are you following me?
I got it.
Because I don't know that guy.
Me.
I don't know Andrew at all.
You don't know
I only know Jimmy Pardo.
Okay.
So the brother-in-law is missing.
How is this affecting Al Franken? That's what I want to know.
And apparently the guy suffers from depression, and he just... One day, they knew he was going to Vancouver. He said, bye, I'm going to see some friends and, whatever, and then just dropped off the face of the earth. He didn't go for the Olympics.
Okay.
So.
Either to compete or to...
Or to watch. He was just going to visit friends, and all of a sudden, he didn't catch his flight back home. And
he seems to have dropped off the grid.
Right.
And his name again is...
Andrew Koenig or Koenig. I think it's Koenig.
All right.
Yeah,
all right.
So
I don't know him. I hadn't met him, but I would say that easily 20 people that I'm either friends with on Facebook or I follow on Twitter have all been looking for, I mean, mentioned and looking for him. Have you seen this
I've seen
well?
That too, yeah.
Have you? Yeah. So, I mean...
It's the power of the internet.
Well, it raises a very interesting point about the power of the internet. So, during the Tiger Woods apology, which we just played, the musical accompaniment to, the Twitterverse was basically commenting in real time about what was going on. And
right.
And if you watch CNN or Fox News or MSNBC, you see that they have people in their newsrooms who are looking at the Twitterverse and kind of gauging the pulse of the public based upon what's coming across Twitter. And
right.
And I wonder whether that's it's a real thing, but is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Is it an accurate representation? Not everybody Twitters, right? It's a very narrow group of people that Twitter. I mean, it's a few million people that Twitter, but the ones that actively Twitter are probably just a few thousand people that actively Twitter. What's your take on this?
Why do you keep looking to me?
Because I want you to be involved in the show.
I don't know. I don't.
Because you don't have to think it works, so you might as well think here.
That's right. Well, I...
She doesn't work at Apple anymore, so...
So I don't have to think.
So she doesn't think anymore. It's just like...
Now you think the same.
I'm not thinking different anymore.
That's right.
Well, as it relates to Andrew Koenig, or just the whole idea that once something happens, it can just be on fire and things can be sent out.
Is Twitter a real news source?
No, I can see that it's helpful when you want people's opinions. It's all opinions. It's not real news. I mean, where would we be getting our people from? NBC or anybody covering the event twittering?
But I think when you had let's say Iran or certain countries, and then the people there Twitter, you are getting some gauge on what's going on because you don't know, there might not be news media there yet, or they kind of slant it, so you might be getting something.
See, here, I wonder whether Twitter, for example, more so than Facebook and more so than MySpace and more so than any of these others, because it's instantaneous and it is egalitarian, which means unless somebody blocks you, you can tweet about anything to anyone. And if I do
to
a search...
To anyone that subscribes to you.
Actually,
right?
But you're not limited to that. That's the point. So
okay.
If you go to search.twitter.com and you put in Tiger, you will see all the tweets from everybody in the Twitterverse about Tiger at that moment in time, regardless of whether you subscribe to them or not.
Oh, see, right. I didn't know you could search for Twitters.
Yeah, search.twitter.com. And so I frequently, I follow, 100 people, but I don't want to see 1,000 people or 10,000 people's thoughts simultaneously all the time. So if there's something that I'm interested in, like, for example, Tiger or the BAFTAs. So the British Academy Awards were last Sunday, and I was watching the BAFTAs live, and I was curious about what people were thinking because I'm not in the UK. I can't, I'm not sitting with my mates chatting about what's going on TV.
Right.
So, but you can go on the Twitterverse, and you feel like suddenly you're in this conversation, even if you're just like Jeff, you're just listening in, you're not actually participating.
Thank you.
You're well, no, it was kind of a funny.
I was wondering if you'd notice.
Yeah, but you can hear what people are thinking, and one person shouting in the wilderness doesn't mean anything. There's no knowledge there, right? There's no information there. But I don't know, a million people shouting, does that then begin to mean
pulse.
Does that then begin to mean something? Does that become what do they call it, the wisdom of the crowds?
I think it could. I mean, certainly it, what I always worry about are those people that might insert themselves to be, sending out tweets of their own agenda or perception of something that may not even be present, just to kind of clog the opinions there. I don't know.
Tweetosphere? What do you call it? The Tweetiverse?
Tweetiverse.
The Twitterverse. The Twittersphere. Yeah, I don't know.
But I think it
you
is.
You mean like a fake Olbermann?
Perhaps I'm a little bit jaded because my first real experience with tweeting is because of fake Olbermann.
Okay.
So, I'm just being a little bit, I'm a little gun shy to believe everything now on, that's being tweeted.
I don't think it's about believing. I think Robin's got a pretty good point here that, you're just looking for a pulse. And if you even look at a Gallup poll, Mm-hmm. I mean, Gallup polls eventually just kind of came onto the scene because there was some technology that let them go and take a scoop of the grain of sand and say, you know, this is what it looks like. And, you know, now that you've got, you know, Facebook and Twitter, and on one hand, like, I've never participated in a Gallup poll, and you're kind of like, well, someone out there is doing these types of things. And it's like, well, you know what? Twitter represents a group of people that are using network devices. They're using smart devices. So it starts to kind of pre-cull.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's more than just random. I don't know if they've done it already, but I wouldn't be surprised if the next election, the one coming for president
2012,
Facebook runs a running hot cold, you know, 50% of us are going Republican, 50 Twitter's doing a live, which way we're, and I bet you those will be directional points for people kind of covering the election, saying, you know, looking at the Twitterverse, we're seeing 45% in favor of, you know, whatever.
And is that healthy for a democracy? Because it doesn't allow, from my perspective, I'll give you my answer as I ask the question, which is it doesn't permit you to think about it.
But don't forget, you keep kind of, well, where do you stop? Because you're saying, well, who's saying Twitter might be bad? CNN? Like, I don't have a TV channel that I get to kind of say what's going on. So at some point, it's just another slice of another slice looking and saying, well, that's not a directional read and not helpful for shaping public opinion and public policy. Our slice is what you should be using in our media channel.
It would be very interesting to figure out a way of doing a Twitter poll. I don't think Twitter lets you do polls.
No, I'm not saying, yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised, though, if with the election buzz and all this kind of stuff.
No, but I mean, if you could say to the Twitterverse, right, if you could say, we want you to tell us who you think is going to win, you know, the best supporting actress.
Or change your tweet color red or blue or something.
Well, I mean, actually, Facebook would probably be a better solution because I think more people are using Facebook, even older people and different. Twitter is still a very nerdy, geek type platform.
But if you and I are not friends, I can't see what you're saying on Facebook. There's no way for me to search your news feed if we're not friends on Facebook. Whereas on Twitter, you and I don't have to be friends. If you've said something about Obama, or you've said something about the BAFTAs, or you've said something about Tiger, or you've said something about tinnitus, or, you know, whatever it is, I can go search and bang, all of a sudden I'm seeing what you're talking about. And as you say, I can begin to cull through imperfect information, no doubt, but I can begin to cull, and I wonder whether that's a helpful thing for a democracy, or it's a less helpful thing for a democracy, because we see politicians routinely make decisions based upon polls alone, right? They're trying to satisfy the constituency, and as a result, they, you know, did politics work better when there was no C-SPAN and there was no instantaneous 24-hour cable channels, so that the politicians who were doing their job in Washington didn't have to worry that their constituents back in Iowa or San Diego or Boston would be able to see what they were doing, and therefore they had the time to actually do the business of the country. Whereas now, whenever they walk into any room, it's beamed everywhere instantaneously.
Right.
And the mood changes. I mean, I think if they're trying to react to what people are trying to tell them via tweets or whatever, that changes from hour to hour because the information is so instantaneous.
Yeah,
so
I think it's useful as a pulse. It's not a compass. It's just, you know, it's a good way to get a pulse on what's going on.
Have you guys seen...
By the way, 408-335-4755. 408-335-4755. If you happen to be listening to the live stream and you want to weigh in on this, we got a line open because nobody's on the phone. I used to be on a real radio station, and I know how to say that. I'm sorry. It sounds stupid.
Well, it almost
here.
Sounded like you were
Thank
coming
you. It's
in.
It's like Voss is still here.
It almost, because don't, like, on the radio, you have to announce it every so often.
You should.
Oh, I thought it was an FCC requirement.
No.
That you have to call out.
No, it's usually the program manager's requirement.
What I was going to say is, have you guys seen where they even now, I mean, it's so scientific, they'll have, you know, like, people, and then during a speech, they have them use a knob gauge their...
Yeah, we used to use those a long
You know
time
what I'm talking about? Like
the,
so it says if they like them, if they like... You know, and it'll go like
Funny
this.
He was jerking off a frog. I should do it in the camera.
Right. So it's I mean that's how, but that's but they it's just amazing how much
it's
stuff
like, lady,
they
just
do
take
now.
My legs off.
That's how they like it.
You know, nobody cares.
You love
no,
it.
Sorry, no, I'm just kidding.
It's two shows at once.
I get cut off all the time.
Left channel and right channel. It works out okay.
All right.
I actually had no idea what you said. I'm sorry. I was gonna
something
kinda,
about a frog.
I was gonna segue smoothly, but I was so mesmerized by you doing this. So no, I
no, let's move on.
I apologize all over the place.
That's fine. That's
all right.
Fine.
All right. Well, I think we should take another break at this
okay.
point. I'm looking for some. We should take another break. Music at this point. I do want to talk about. So I think it's something that I want to revisit again in coming weeks. And if people have thoughts about it, I'd love to hear what their thoughts are. And they can also write us on the blog over at schnauzerlogic.com. You can call and leave a voicemail message. I'm curious. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were moving in for the kill. I'm curious. I don't think we understand exactly how social media is impacting, I hate using that phrase, but the impact that social media has on the democratic process in this country. Mm-hmm. I don't think we understand that at this point. I think we're kind of fucking around along the edges. We're trying to figure out what it means. And, you know, it's interesting because you can put tweets up on web pages and, you know, and on TV screens and stuff like that. But it has a real impact. It's different than, you know, 20 years, 50 years, 100 years ago. And I think it's changing the way that we're conducting our democracy. And so I'm just curious. The other thing that I'm curious about is, as a fake Olbermann, so I'm coming up on the one-year anniversary of being a fake Olbermann. I now have over 10,000 followers. I have about 10,200 followers. So for those of you who are fake Olbermann followers, I am Olbermann is my account. IAMOLBERMANN. I chose that because Puff Daddy is I am Diddy. And Spartacus was I am Spartacus. So I put the two of them together.
Oh, see, I didn't even get that. I thought your thing said fake Olbermann.
No.
No, no, no.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
My Twitter name is I am Olbermann.
Olbermann. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And I said when all the others are gone, I'm the last Olbermann standing.
Okay.
So, but this week, so people can write to you unless you block them. Even if you're not following them, they can put at I am Olbermann, and
right.
then it basically shows up in your inbox, right? Not
right.
in your inbox on Twitter, but in your I am up. And somebody wrote to me as fake Olbermann because they thought I was really the Olbermann, and they were really mean. They were like, you know, we've decided that you suck, and you're a stupid, worthless fact. Sign the American public, you know.
Right.
And I like I was hurt. For Olbermann, I was hurt for me, and I started to respond, and I thought, who the fuck am I responding to? But I just, like, the fact that you can anonymously hurt the feelings of someone,
or skew the information, or I'm cynical about it because there are, and not that I'm proposing that there'd be any controls. It's just that you can't weigh in completely on something like this because they. You know, you can write it because you can, in fact, write anything.
Right. Now, when I'm gonna try to write an article about this. That's my plan, is to write an article about this. I'd like to see if it can get published in the Huffington Post. And I'm going to call this guy out. Initially, I was going to call him out and go, listen, douchebag, like, you don't know how close to being wrong you are. And by the way, you know, you're a fucking moron. Signed, the American public that knows how to read, you know? But
yeah.
But I thought, you know, the best revenge is to kind of call him out for being a douche in an article. So I'm going to do that. But I don't know. More to be discussed. We'll come back on the other
side. I would like to discuss this more.
All right. Well, in coming weeks, you'll have the opportunity. We'll take a final break. We'll play a little more tunage. We'll come back on the other side. Listening to Schnauzer Logic, Robin Goldstein, Sherry Stevens, John DeCoven, and Jeff. Stick around.
That's the trouble around here. Talk, talk, talk. Oh, sometimes I think I must go mad.
We'll be back with more Schnauzer Logic.
Strangers in the night, exchanging glances, wondering in the night, what were the chances we'd be sharing love before the night was through? Something in your eyes was so inviting. Something in your smile was so exciting. Something in my heart told me I must have you. Strangers in the night, two lonely people, we were strangers in the night. Up to the moment when we said our first hello, little did we know, love was just a glance away, a warm embracing dance away. And ever since that night, we've been together, lovers at first sight. In love forever, it turned out so right, for strangers in the night. Love was just a glance away, a warm embracing dance away. Ever since that night, we've been together, lovers at first sight. In love forever, it turned out so right, for strangers in the night. John DeCoven, Sherry Stevens, Parvis Fatale, Jeff Perenes, Jason Nathanson, Robin Goldstein.
Welcome back. We're 53 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic, being recorded on Wednesday, the 24th of February, 2010. Robin Goldstein, www.schnauzerlogic.com, Robin at schnauzerlogic.com, 408-335-4755. We went into the break. We got all these things we want to talk about.
Let me ask you a question.
Absolutely.
Really quick.
Go ahead.
Is this intentional when we're off the air that the Ustream still gets sound?
Yes, because the Ustream is picking up information from the microphone in the
camera.
Okay,
I just want to make sure you knew that was happening. Because as we were talking about the meat and the fish, Julie texted us to say, yes, you eat fish on Good Friday, no meat allowed.
See? All right. There you
I
go.
I do know something. Thank you, Julie.
Thank you, Julie.
Also, I want to just mention something here. I've been sitting on this now for about a month, and it's unintentional. One of our very loyal listeners, a good friend of the show, Tony, sent a very long... She made a very long posting on the Schnauzer Logic blog that was actually directed to Boyana. And I'll read the first part of it, because I feel like Boyana works for me, and so I'm feeling very protective towards Boyana. And I know that Tony was not trying to attack Boyana. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I thought, well, I could put it up and not put it up. But meanwhile, what I've done is I've not mentioned it at all. And that was not what I wanted to do either. So let me just mention this here, and I'll read the first paragraph. So it says, Dear Boyana, I believe Sherry commented early on in the show, and I'm not sure which show this is because, I've waited too long to get back to this. So I apologize, Tony, that Robin is an amazing woman, and I want to echo that sentiment. That's all I need to read. No. I am so glad Robin is recovering from her surgery and that you're all back on the air with Schnauzer Logic in 2010. I find Robin to be a wonderfully entertaining, resilient, and unabashedly honest person. With that in mind, I'd like you to ask you, Boyana, to start referring to Robin as a woman using feminine pronouns, quote, she and her, in order to respect Robin's gender expression and also challenge the mainstream gender assumptions, such as only men have deep voices. Robin's radio voice is great, and there's no reason she should have to change that in order to be referred to as a woman. Alternatively, you might try to use gender-neutral pronouns like Z or here. which may seem silly, but I think they're at least an interesting idea. And there's a grammar reference over at MIT, and I'll put the link on the webpage. And then it talks a little bit more about that. So I didn't want to acknowledge Tony's post. I didn't want to post this up there without talking about it, because I didn't want it to feel like this was an attack on Boyana, since Boyana is not a native speaker of English. She has never met me. And while she's seen photographs on the web pages and what have you, if you only came to this program by listening, I mean, Voss, right? You know, he assumed that I was a guy, and, you know, and that's fine. And that's, I don't care. That's not really part of, if it was relevant to the discussion, I would have blown his mind. But right, it wasn't relevant to what we were talking about. So I don't personally care about it. And Boyana, having never met me, I think probably wouldn't understand. I mean, we can have a long conversation about it. Not what I want to do at this point. But so I'm okay. So, Tony, I want to let you know, I'm okay when Boyana writes he on the in the show notes. I understand where she's coming from. She has no particular frame of reference. If she said she, would that be better? I don't know that it would be better from my point of view. It would just be different. And I don't get hung up on that kind of stuff. As I mentioned, I think early on, and if not, it's something that I will talk about. I actually started to write about this. One of the things that kept me from transitioning in the first place, when I initially transitioned from male to female, was of all of the parts of my personality and aspects of my gender identity that I didn't like, I loved my voice. And I love my voice going into a microphone and hearing that sound through headphones. I fucking love that. And when I switched genders and started living as a woman, I thought, well, that's got to go, because I can't do this as a woman. I then went to broadcasting school and did this show, or elements of this show, in broadcasting school. In fact, the opening, the Schnauzer Logic opening, the radio dial tuning thing, comes from a project that I had to do as part of my final exam for the broadcasting school, so I'm still repurposing stuff. But it was when I was there that I was doing my show at the Academy of Broadcasting that I realized that the voice that I was using for the radio show did not feel authentic to the task at hand. And I'm a firm believer in the Judith Butler notion that an open society will permit the adoption and discarding of identities in accordance with the task at hand. And I thought to myself, this voice is not consistent with what I'm trying to accomplish at this point. It's a fine voice, but not the voice that I want to use when I'm on the radio. And so I started to think about that, and it kind of got into my head. When I then transitioned again, it was easy to pick up the radio and go on to KSCO and do all kinds of radio and voiceovers and things of that nature, because at least externally, the appearance of my image and my voice began to match each other again. And when I transitioned yet again, because I've got those frequent flyer miles that I'm trying to pile up so that I can wind up sitting next to Kevin Smith the next time I fly, I realized that I could pick and choose whatever aspects of my life that I wanted to, and that I had no reason to leave anything behind. You could all come with me. It was a big bag of tools, and I could just throw as much shit in there as I wanted to as I moved forward. And so, yes, I could live my life and present myself as however I wanted to, and when I'm out in public or at a restaurant, whatever, use a different voice, because I have the ability to do that. But when I'm behind the microphone, this feels like the right voice to use. And as a result, I'm not troubled with it. So I offer that. Boyana, it's an interesting point of view. If you're interested in commenting on that in the blog, you're welcome to do so, but it's not obligated. But I did feel very protective of Boyana, because I thought, well, she's my employee. She works for me. And as I say, I know that Tony was not attacking her, but as I initially read this, it's a nice long piece, and I may want to, I'll probably put it up now so people can take a look at it now that I've had a chance to talk about it. So I want to thank Tony first and foremost for being a listener, second of all for providing the links to the terms from MIT and Berkeley. There's some really interesting stuff here. And I'm guessing we'll be talking about this, you know, as life continues. So there you go. All right. That's enough of me blowing off steam. So.
Well, that's cool, though.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Tony felt protective of you.
Oh, sure. Now you want to talk. Now you got something to say. Well, why don't you tweet it?
I actually have a tweet account that I've never used.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. I'll have to tweet something.
Speaking of tweet accounts, who did I hear from this week? Sean P. Meehan.
Oh,
Sean P. Meehan.
Mr. Meehan.
I don't know how he is, but I know that he has a Twitter account.
Oh.
At Sean P. Meehan. So okay, if you want to follow Sean and scare the shit out of him while all these people are now following him, you can follow Sean, S-E-A-N, P, Meehan, M-E-E-H-E-N, and you can follow Dr. Sean. All right, cool. So let me toss it back over to you, and you guys figure out what you wanted to wrap up the show with today.
Well, I was kind of liking the topic, what you were talking about earlier, about the internet and how the person attacked you.
Okay.
Do you want to continue on that, or?
We can. I want to talk about Toyota, too. I'm okay. also interested in getting into Toyota, because Toyota is taking a bath. So, I mean, did you have a final point on it?
Because we've really kind of cut quickly, you off before. That's fine, yeah. Because the internet, it allows, obviously, you to be anonymous. So, you know, that person who wrote you that thing might be some person just even fucking around. Like, they're not really even that passionate about it, but they're like, oh, I hate Oberman. I mean, think how much stuff Oberman gets, how much stuff Riley gets. And all these people, I mean, even with Andrew Koenig, there were like news, you know, there's news stories and then people can comment.
Right.
I mean, people were writing like vicious. I mean, here's a guy, he's missing, who knows what happened to him. And people were just saying stupid things, you know, like, hey, well, next time I get a boner. And I mean, you know, it's just.
So all these opinions can sometimes pollute the.
What I did, and I've heard other comedians have done this too, like actually Doug Benson on an interview, I heard him once say he turns off
comments
like on YouTube, or because you read those comments and it doesn't matter how many good ones you have, you get one negative one and it just eats at you.
Yeah.
And you know, people can, I mean, I've had people write comments that are like, I'm like, you know what? You saw a great comedy show for $10. You got nothing to complain about, you know? But there's some people who are always like Yelp.
Right. Especially when they can do it anonymously.
Right.
I think people feel the need to be witnessed.
Right.
I mean, the internet is a way for anonymous people, I want to say small people, because that sounds like I'm bigger than people, because I have a microphone and a little stupid podcast.
And you're 6'8".
No, I mean, I had Rich Voss as a guest today. How fucking cool was that? But I think there is a need as a human being to be witnessed. There's a need for that in our core, to have our experiences and thoughts and feelings witnessed by other people. And the internet makes that way, way easier.
Exactly.
In the past, you'd have to have a printing press, or, you know, wackos would write letters to the newspaper
right.
Or back when television stations had editorials, you know, and now a rebuttal to the WCBS editorial, you know, my name is Mo Schwerlingsmain. You know, last Monday, you know, it's like, but now with the internet, right, everybody's got the megaphone to do that kind of thing, but we haven't developed the social structure, right? The mismanners of the internet.
Right.
So you get this dick, right, who basically wrote dickish things. I mean, I know who he is. He identified himself. He actually lives in San Diego. He's a sports fan. He's got his dickish photograph up there.
Oh, so, okay. Well,
yeah,
that's better at least.
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah. Well, no, because at least he is not being totally anonymous.
No.
Well, you don't know.
What gives somebody the right to feel that they can walk up to a famous people, right? Someone in the public light.
Right.
And sort of say dickish things to them? Because my initial thought was, well, you wouldn't really walk up to Oberman in public and say that. But you know what?
He might.
And what gives him the right to think that he does it? He doesn't know Oberman. He doesn't know. I mean, people, they don't know these people. Is it like one step below John Hinckley? Are these people just like a couple of, you know, brain chemicals away from, you know, John Hinckley?
They could be.
He did it for Jodie Foster.
But what I'm going to, and we'll talk about this.
Sorry.
No, I agree. But that's why I'm saying, and I'll talk about it more next time.
All right. Because
I had an issue with Tony and Tina's wedding.
Ah.
And I'm launching a full-scale internet attack on them, which is blogs, emails, and everything. But I'm fully identifying myself.
All right.
My name, everything will be there so people can respond.
All right. So... We will publicize that on the blog, and we'll tweet about it, and even Oberman will be tweeting about
it.
Right?
There you go.
I got my 10,000 followers to do nothing.
I just think it's funny how you're so upset, but you're not even Oberman anyways.
Right.
But words have power,
and
particularly words like that, you know, that just come out of nowhere.
They're really hurtful, and it's not me.
But if you read any blog, I mean, that's the thing. Go read Bill O'Reilly's. Go read Keith Oberman's.
Well, he's a dick. I get it.
Go read Arianna Huffington. I mean, God, the Huffington Post, some of the stuff these people write.
It's horrible.
I mean, it's horrible.
It's just horrible. It goes back and forth. And whenever there's any story having to do with either pornography or sexuality or any of these things which are on the edge, abortion, immediately it immediately escalates into that back and forth seesaw until somebody's a Nazi. You know, that's how you know the game is over. The game is over when somebody is a Nazi. You know, that's how we know how to play the end of the game. I love cars. I know Jeff loves cars. Sherry's looking to buy a car. John drives a car. Toyota has, for years and years and years, been the gold standard of solid, reliable, not necessarily inexpensive, but, reasonably priced transportation. And in this last, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, the fucking world has fallen in on Toyota.
Just taking a bath.
And you have more insight into the industry than I do. But my sense is your feeling is this is undeserved. They're kind of become the scapegoat.
Yeah, no. If you dial back just to the no one, it's not the same level of transparency for other automakers is where you need to start. There's no weekly update that the nation gets on recalls this week.
Just to give 30 seconds of background for people who may not know the story here in the United States, what's happened is Toyota has been subject to a number of recalls, and now there's congressional inquiries. The first was the cars that were, the accelerator would get stuck.
Accelerator
would get stuck. Then there were brake issues.
Brake issues. Great Leno joke.
Okay. Well, don't just tell us that.
Are you allowed to? Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, so Leno had the best.
He's not on the air. We are.
I love Leno's joke.
Although I heard he's taking over this program. Yeah.
He's just moving our
time. Well, he wouldn't have us.
Yeah, no. Anyway, Leno's throwaway joke was that Toyota today instructed their drivers to stop driving their cars, and to which the Toyota owners responded, "We're trying."
There you go.
So it's good. Repurposing a joke from a comedian in my heart.
So the problems with the cars accelerator getting stuck, and then the brakes getting
And then it turned out they had mats getting jammed up underneath the pedals. They had all sorts of things.
Right.
But the problem was two things have changed, and I hope I'm not cutting over the
we're good.
The overview. The U.S. government organizations that are kind of driving the recalls, the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration, and things like that. Well, those are government bodies, and the government now has vested interest in two of the car makers in the United States. And then all of a sudden, there's not real separation of church and state anymore on this one. And that's the first thing. Maybe there needs to be, another look at it. The second is it's out of form to what traditionally recalls happen all the time.
Right.
And if you announce news randomly without context, a tree fell in the woods, everyone panics, says, wow, that must be bad. And actually it landed in the river and caused a dam and saved a bunch of kids. But if you just put out a recall, and then so what seems to be happening now is they're continuing to going after. Prius recalled 8,000, Toyota recalled 8,000 Priuses.
Mm-hmm.
The scales of these things are so small, but it's got news, it's getting momentum, and you're losing sight of what I think is the real point. We're going to witch hunt. We're going to look for blood until we close down or affect, hundreds of thousands of American jobs. Because everybody forgets that Toyota, in a lot of ways, is our largest domestic car manufacturer.
Well, didn't they actually announce this week that they're going to be closing lines in Kentucky?
They're shutting down lines. It's like, be careful. Yeah, exactly. It's be careful what you ask
for. They're already starting to do that. Right. Americans are going to be more hurt by this than by...
Then the influx of cars that are built by maybe Chrysler or GM that are produced in
Canada, jobs, Mexico.
Jobs are jobs. You have to pick a perspective. And if we're talking about, hey, what's good for American jobs, because otherwise the conversation...
Do you think this is a jobs issue?
No, I think what it is I think we haven't done the check and balance here. I think there's too much momentum to the lobbyists for the big three. There's too many relationships that already existed so that when this... Hey, we've got a Toyota issue. I think it got extra play.
Kick them when they're down, kind of thing.
Yeah, I think the media is—it's too appealing to the media incorrectly. You never heard of recalls before, unless they were nobody. Unfortunately, this isn't
only with exploding gas tanks and things like that. Or, right. It would have to
absolutely.
So I'll take the other point of view,
please.
Right? I mean, just to make it interesting, and that is that the argument is that Toyota knew that there were problems and that they have been denying it and saying it's not really an issue. And if you actually read the daily news reports, initially they said the car electronics had nothing to do with this. The throttle by wire, you know, the drive by wire electronic throttle systems, right? The feedback has nothing to do with this. And like a day later, you saw somebody who testified before Congress like, yeah, we're not sure whether that, you know, we haven't really completely ruled that out at this point. Now it's like, yeah, maybe there is an issue with the drive, but like we don't really know because there's so many lines of code and, you know, the cars have 70 computers and so, millions of lines of code.
Absolutely. And then do the flip back, go back to a very unfortunate time because there was, you know, people did die, you know, when the Ford Explorers were kind of having the rollover issues.
Okay.
Ford up and down. It's the tires. And then as soon as that kind of went away, the mandatory active roll control, dynamic stability, yaw sensors, all this stuff went rushing into the car. Way off topic, because we got to do one of these. It's a lot like when the Titanic had its incident in the ocean. And,
is that a Ford product?
If it's lucky. But the White Star Line went and made very specific repairs on the third of the three sisters that were being built. And if you scratch your head about it, well, they had no ability to go down to the bottom of the ocean back then to check what was wrong. They knew what was wrong. They blamed an iceberg, and then when no one was looking,
they always blamed the Jews.
They went, they went and reinforced. I lost one of my things here, which is fine. Maybe it's time for me to. But yeah, they went and made the right reinforcements. And I think what we're blowing out of proportion with Toyota is, you know, as the recalls go and there's more data collected, more examples, they start to change what they think it is. But Toyota, I think. If I was Toyota, I'd do two things. I would continue to remind people that, hey, you know, on behalf of the X number of hundreds of thousands of Americans that we employ, we have a lot of faith in these people. But my concern is, and I'm not being dramatic about it. I think at the end of this argument is just support for, you know what, Toyota saying, hey, we tried to build cars in the United States. And when everyone says, hey, Toyota used to make the most impressive quality vehicles in the world, it's like the only thing changed is we moved all this stuff to the U.S. So, you know what, maybe it's time we'll just go back the other way. It's, you know, the Toyota's not the dragon I think people are making them out to be.
Wow, that's pretty fucking harsh. Well, that's a really interesting perspective.
I think it's a take your ball and go home thing.
No, I'm glad that you said it all. I had not thought of any of that.
Yeah, I had neither.
Be careful what you ask for.
Yeah.
And I heard briefly this morning on the news, because I just caught the tail end of a clip on TV, that they were actually thinking that there might be an EMI issue that was causing the electrical issues on the car.
Yeah.
And they said, well, you know, can you confirm that this is an EMI issue? And the guy says, well, we haven't tested. We're going to test it. You know, it's like, this is all new information. Every day it's all new. So
the lack
they
of transparency, I think, is the biggest challenge that we face. I mean, I'm not going to go into it tonight, but I mean, I've had problems with my car. I know everybody here is bored, especially Jeff.
No.
Please talk about your car, Robin. Please.
But
I think from my perspective, it's the lack of there's a defensive reaction, which is it's not our fault. We didn't do anything wrong. It was, you know, it's like family circus. You know, I mean, it immediately becomes that. And then now Boyana's going to have to find a family circus cartoon that makes sense of what I just said here, boy. Sorry, Boyana. But
or she's going to say, not me.
Very
three
nice.
Readers that
there
watch
you go.
Family Circus.
Very excellent. But I think that's a big part of it is if you just say, listen, you know, because somebody said, do you realize that, like, you know, modern automobiles, they don't have one or two computers. They may have 30, 40 microprocessors.
Yeah,
they may have close to 100 different microprocessors.
Absolutely.
And how many lines of code. And so this is not your father's Oldsmobile. I mean, by any stretch of the imagination. I had a piece of equipment delivered the other day, and in the garage I saw that I had a tachometer and a timing light and dwell meter. And they were like, you know, they were kind of laughing at me. I said, there was a time when I could actually use that to adjust my car. I have no idea where I would even connect that on my new car. Like, I cannot tell you. I don't think you can even see the timing belt on my car. So it's a useless, you know, piece of artifact. But as a result, it's to be expected. The expectation should be you're going to have more problems today than you had 20 years ago. You get all of this cool stuff. Along with all that cool stuff comes, you know, how your home computer occasionally crashes and you have to reboot it. Yeah, cars about the same way. We're going to do whatever we can to make sure that it doesn't crash and reboot while you're driving. But, you know, that's a message that I don't know that anybody who drives a car want to hear. I mean, we're going to be we'll be back to driving those, you know, your dad's Oldsmobile again.
Yeah, well, the second, and that's, and I'll stop on the point, but the second concern is this starts a whole level of regulations that we don't need in terms of someone's like, well, you know what? Well, now cars go into, there needs to be a new check engine light. If there's a potential that one of the recalls hasn't been addressed, the car doesn't move. And I'm being dramatic now for purpose, but you look at things, you know, I can't drive to work without my car telling me to put my, perfect music, here comes the cane. But, you know, the car's telling me to put my seatbelt on, you know, you get all sorts of things. I mean, it just, it starts, you know, we get airbags because of legislation and all these things. And I get nervous that this recall, either way, is going to leave some real hurt in some towns where people are working and kids wondering, now, hey, how come my dad's moving again? I mean, those are real things because we're just, we're looking for, you know, someone to yell at here.
I think well said. I couldn't add anything to that except today's show has been sponsored by Toyota.
By Toyota stock, maybe?
So.
Will Toyota recover?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yes, of course. Of course they will. Because there's still a Toyota at the head of Toyota.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. The most interesting part of the story is that in the news is people are like, Toyota's actually the name of the guy?
Yeah.
The guy's name is Toyota.
Yeah.
Toyota-san.
Same thing with Honda. Everyone's like, wait a minute. It's not a Mars. It's like, no, it's the guy's name.
I know.
You remember the Datsun?
Yeah.
Yes, that was Datsun, the Nissan. Nissan.
That was the Nissan, right?
Nissan was always the parent company. Datsun was the model line, and then they just flipped it. It's like sorting out the Coke, Diet Coke, just flipping the whole thing around. Nice.
I hear that.
All right. Excellent.
Well, let me thank you.
That was a nice little, almost like an interview right there.
An informative news piece at the end of the show.
This is a real show.
No, I mean, you were great. I got a lot of good
info. I knew about this stuff.
You mean it the way that Rich Voss meant it?
No, I meant it
truthfully. Because I'm starting to learn when people say you were great or that was good for me.
I'm sincere.
All right. Starting to get a little suspect.
Well, they all look like that. All right.
That's
wow.
What she said.
Wow. 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 Oh, man. I should have quit while I was ahead. Well, let me thank Jeff Moranis for coming on over again today. I really appreciate
it. Thanks for having me. Always
and,
fun.
And let me thank Sherry Stevens again for coming in.
No problem.
I know you've got a new gig. And, of course, John DeCovins. Thank you, my friend.
Loved it.
Not only for coming down, but for booking Rich Voss. And, of course, thanks to Rich Voss.
Bunjo's, you'd booked him.
Bunjo's, yeah. And of course, his wife, Bonnie, who managed to sneak into the interview. And,
that was great.
That was fabulous.
For those of such you, a shame she couldn't grab the other phone.
<I know. laughs> For those of you who are not Schnauzer Logic listeners, we do this every single week. It's a kind of a free-form kind of thing. We do it for 2 hours. And we would love it if you'd become regular listeners. You can listen online. You can download the podcast from the iTunes Music Store. You can download the files right from the internet. Tell your friends if you have something that you want to have us play or talk about. Robin at SchnauzerLogic.com or www.SchnauzerLogic.com.
And just one quick thing.
Yeah.
You may not even know this, Robin, but Schnauzer Logic is a sponsor of the Killer Laughs Comedy Competition.
I had no idea.
I took it upon myself. I hope you don't mind. If you go to the website, KillerLaughsCompetition.com.
That's what that money transfer was.
You will see the Schnauzer Logic logo with a direct link as a sponsor to the competition.
Thank you. Now, the competition starts...
March 5th next week. And it's 15 weeks.
You didn't get the sponsor kit?
No sponsor kit. This is an easy, easy sponsorship.
This is the first couple rounds. And I'm going to get to be a judge this year.
Exactly.
All right,
you can all be judges, hopefully.
Hey, that would be fun.
What would be fun to have a Schnauzer night. So that night, you all are the judges.
Yeah, we can get Parviz in. That would be very cool. We'd love to do that.
All right.
This weekend, I don't know what's going on this weekend. Anything happening this weekend? No sports? No, the Academy.
Not happening this weekend.
You're not going to?
I'm not leaving for China.
Woo!
Oh, were you supposed to go to China?
Yeah. Haven't even been there a month. But that's good.
You're supposed to go to China with your new job?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But that's okay.
Yeah, so you're off the hook for the old one, I would imagine.
That's right. Well, you never know.
Not these days.
What, you still don't want me here?
You got to still go. Yeah, the Academy Awards are coming up in a couple of weeks, I guess.
Isn't it a week from Sunday? Is it the 6th?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so we'll talk about that more next week with Jason and the BAFTAs, The Hurt Locker. That seemed to win everything, and that's really interesting. So I've
got
to try to catch that.
I've got some movies to watch.
Yeah, we got movies to watch. All right. Thank you guys for listening. SchnauzerLodge.com. We love you, and we hope that you'll join us again. I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. I miss you both. Show up, pay attention, tell the truth, and don't be attached to the outcome. Oh, and listen to Mark Zinkel's podcast. It's pretty cool. We'll put the link on the website. All right, we'll take you next week, and take care of yourself. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
This is over now, and you just got to deal with it.
I want you to know it's over.
It's over, Jenny. It's over.
It's over, Harvey. I'm sorry. I need to get on with my life.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Elvis has left the building.
I'm in my vagina.